Anybody know what all the traffic is around the building?
I haven't even seen it.
When I pulled in the entire rear lot, cars parked on grass. I didn't know if the station was doing something.
Oh, the the vehicles that are parked on the grass, that's just all the construction people working on all the floors up on top of us.
First time I've noticed them.
Yeah, now they've been
like 20 or 30 cars.
Yeah, they've been stacked up like that for a few weeks. It's kind of like how they, from the back loading door to one of the elevators, they've made their own sort of hallway dedicated to just them.
Okay, but maybe there was an event going on that I didn't care about.
No, but there are a few listeners.
That are construction workers here in the building?
Yeah.
How'd you find out?
Because I was walking past the elevators. If you're getting here one morning, I just heard around the corner, "Hey, Dad!" What?
Hey, love knowing Queen is real.
Yeah, one of them actually said, your allergies might have something to do with all this stuff that's going on up here.
How long has construction been going on?
Since before the new year.
Now,
I would say November.
It has been worse the last couple months.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
But I was feeling bad at home.
Right. Plus, I haven't seen it affect other people in the building the way it's affected you, Chloe, and Alfie.
Alfie, anything from the allergist in Plano?
No, nothing yet.
Well, I know we should talk about this stuff before the show, but I ain't got no time for it.
I called them around 2:30 today, and the doctor was still just catching up, busy as hell.
Okay. I go to one of your backups.
Got it.
I'm going to start on this fast track shot thing while I'm feeling decent.
Yeah.
Because if I get sick again, I'm not going to feel like going to the doctor.
No. Yeah, that's the worst thing when you're down like that is you don't want to go anywhere, which is, it's kind of like when...
We can see you about 3:30. I'm going to be drunk and dead.
Yeah, that doesn't really fit into Russ's schedule for the sick day.
3:30 is when I empty out my snot bucket. Can't make it. Okay. Certainly there's got to be an allergy team someplace in North Texas that... we're not asking for really anything.
No.
Well, what is it they got to prove? We're going to pay for the treatment. Everything else, what's the issue?
I think the doctor is just concerned about if he's going to have enough time to come up here and do testing, things like that.
Well, if they could do something on a Saturday, I could go in. You know how long the testing thing lasts?
The testing thing, I believe it's an hour for the testing, and it's several hours, I think 5 or 6, for the fast track thing. Just to have you sit there, pump you full of stuff until you get to your maintenance dose, I think it's called.
Pump me full of what stuff?
Allergens.
See, that whole concept doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know, man. But it would sound
like... I got allergens already. That's why I've got allergy problems.
Right.
I'm exposed to it all the time. I don't need to go to the doctor and just dogpile it.
Well, they need to know what you're allergic to, so then they know which course of treatment to take. I know it doesn't make any sense.
Whatever's popular is what I'm allergic to.
Yeah, but that's not how they operate. They don't want you telling them what you think you're allergic to. They would rather poke you and find out for sure.
Well, I'm not going to argue with a specialist, but then again, I can't argue with them unless they...
Call back?
Agree. Yeah. For my nose.
You will call me back. I'm going to yell at you.
You don't call me back, I'm going to say you treated me and I've been sick for 2 months because of you.
Yeah, Alfie, try that if you don't get anywhere with your backup.
Got it.
Looking for my nose spray, because if I don't remember, I won't take it.
Is that a daily spray or?
Yeah, it's a steroid nose spray.
Gotcha.
That's at least helped with the congestion.
And the doctor that prescribed that to you, he said there was no worry of addiction to that or anything, right?
No, it's just a mild steroid.
Because over the break, when I was using Afrin too much.
People said that you can get addicted to that, or after a while, your body stops responding to it. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Alfie?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because it has the warning on the thing, don't use it for more than a few days. And I was like, oh, man, I'm using it for like 2 weeks. So I did some research and found out, like, the main actress on Big Bang Theory had to have sinus surgery because she was hooked on Afrin, and she was just pumping it every day.
Dr. Gross said that There's some people that just have their sinuses removed.
That may have been what happened to her.
Again, I don't mean to challenge an expert, but don't we need our sinuses for something?
If it gets so bad to where your sinuses aren't working properly, then maybe they say it's more of a hindrance than a help, so they just take them out.
I wonder how they figured out over hundreds of years of medicine what we could live without, and, you know, like, you don't need the appendix. Are you sure? Yeah, we're going to take it out.
Yeah, I think
have you taken out one before? No.
I think that may just be chalked up to good old-fashioned either just a medical mistake or trial and error.
It's just odd. The things that we don't need. Don't need your tonsils. Are you sure?
Mm. Yeah, honestly, there are certain things that actually, to me, it would make more sense to take out at an early age than to keep. Tonsils being one of the major ones. Because all they really do for most people is cause problems. You can be just fine without them, so take them out.
What are they for?
Honestly, I don't even know. Mine were taken out when I was 5.
I think they're part of the lymphatic system.
Yeah?
They store lymph, and whenever you get sick, it releases it.
What I need lymph in my system?
It's part of your immune system.
It's like white blood cell type stuff.
So what happens if after you take the tonsils out? Where am I going to get my lymph?
You've got other nodes throughout the body.
Exactly.
Backups.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Enough chit chat. You got audio?
I certainly do. And
you seem excited about something.
I know this is really odd for me. This is the first time in years, probably ever, that I've been excited about State of the Union audio.
Yeah, actually, I sat up here last night and watched it with Chloe and Alfie as we added our own comments.
We missed a good part.
What did we miss? All right, well, don't tell me. I'll get the audio. But we just kept watching Boehner going, here's what I bet he's thinking.
Yeah.
But we had to write it down in case anybody could hear us say it.
In case anyone walked by.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in case Ted from ZPS cruised by.
It's probably smart.
Say what?
We probably heard you in the studio through the doors.
All right, what are the clips?
We can start with cut number 7. We mentioned this yesterday as a possibility of what the president might say, and of course, he did in the State of the Union last night.
America, for all that we have endured, for all the grit and hard work required to come back,
sit down, Klein.
For all the tasks that lie ahead, know this. The shadow of crisis has passed, and the State of the Union is strong.
Okay, stunning.
Yeah,
shot.
Exactly. That was the
Make
thing.
Make it up here and pat myself on my back.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing we knew that he was definitely going to say. Cut number 8, he did tackle the issue of women getting equal pay and raising the minimum wage.
Of course, nothing helps families make ends meet like higher wages. That's why this Congress still needs to pass a law that makes sure a woman is paid the same as a man for doing the same work.
I hate to appear overly ignorant.
Okay.
Aren't there already laws in place that prevent discrimination as far as pay goes?
I guess not. As I thought there was supposed to be some type of equal thing like
equal
you
opportunity.
Did. Yeah, but I guess it's maybe equal opportunity to have the job, not necessarily get paid the same for it. Because you still have the studies that it's women are like 77% of men as far as on the pay scale and things.
Missed. It's 2015. It's time. We still need to make sure employees get the overtime they've earned. And everyone in this Congress who still refuses to raise the minimum wage, I say this. If you truly believe you could work full-time and support a family on less than $15,000 a year, try it. If not, vote to give millions of the hardest working people in America a raise.
That is, again, I go back to common sense, not parties, Republican, Democrat. Common sense says if you can't afford a family, you can't afford a family. I don't know how more simple to put it. It's irritating.
That is true.
You try living on this. Well, those are low-paying jobs because it doesn't require a lot of training. It doesn't require any vocational training or college. That's why they don't pay that much. I've worked in fast food. I know how easy it is. It's arduous. And you got to deal with customers. In the summer, it's a pain in the ass when the pizza oven's backed up and you got 15 people in the lobby complaining. Do you see me standing in one spot? They go, hey, I've been here 45 minutes. That's why I told you on the phone it'd be an hour and a half. Nobody told you to show up early. Think you get special treatment just because you're standing out there mooing?
The flip side of that argument would be, I'm assuming, just because I don't make as much as somebody else doesn't mean I should be denied the right as a human to have children, to enrich my life.
Then maybe you work part-time, go to college, be able to get a better job before you start your family. People do that all the time.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of common sense ways to go about it. I'm just saying that there are some that are going to say, just because I make a certain amount doesn't mean you should be able to tell me that I can't have a child. That would that makes the world a better place, having more babies.
No. No. The entire argument is moot. Well, I deserve. No, nobody deserves anything. Show me any part of life that's fair, and then I'll say possibly you deserve. Can't afford it? Don't do it. Don't have enough money to buy a house? Don't buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got, you know, three kids, and I can't live on whatever minimum wage is now.
Is it $7.25?
That's still fascinating to me.
What?
I was ecstatic when it was $2.35.
Well, I mean, obviously times change.
$7 an hour, that's like rich. That's just not a valid argument on President Obama's part. What I didn't like was there were times he would make a point and there would be standing ovation, but only obviously from the Democrats.
Right. Yeah, because actually during the equal pay line, that whole section where they were at the minimum wage, you had like equal pay for women, Democrats all standing up, Biden standing up, Boehner sitting down, all the Republicans sitting down.
Well, everybody should stand for equal pay.
They didn't.
See, the biggest thing, that's the thing that makes me laugh, is he's the president.
Uh-huh.
If you don't respect him, still at least respect the office. And you know, don't sit behind him like Boehner, just eye-effing him. Because Boehner did not look happy the entire time.
No.
It's like, sometimes somebody stands, sometimes they don't. It's like, do you forget what this place is called, where we live? Does that really look united when half stands and half doesn't?
And to speak exactly to your point is cut number 9. This is when the president, this was near the end, and he talked about not having to run for office again.
I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda.
What?
And so right there, you hear people on the Republican side starting to clap, going, yay, we like that. You're not going to be able to run anymore. So you can start it over.
I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda, I know because I won both of them.
And what I love, again, policy, be damned. I don't care what the politics are. I'm in the middle, so whatever. But when he starts out and he turns to the right to look at the Democrats, and then the Republicans start clapping, that's when he turns back to the left and smirks. He's like, I got this. I know because I won both of them. So
I was there both times.
You know how you will sometimes pull something for one of us on the show, knowing, oh, this is for Alfie or Dan, whatever.
Something that will make you guys laugh.
Yeah. Cut number 10. This is what I did for Alfie and a little bit of Chloe.
I have no more campaigns to run.
Didn't I just play this?
Yep.
My only agenda. I know because I won both of them.
Carrying a boombox?
There's a little backstory to this.
There must be, because I don't get it.
Alfie has been obsessed lately with an internet thing, a meme known as Thug Life.
Okay.
Where they'll show, like on YouTube, they'll show a video or audio clip of someone doing something that's just so cool, so badass, and they tag it with some sort of gangster rap because it's so cool, it needs it. So I did this specifically for Alfie.
What is that song?
Oh, that's Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Oh. Okay, I like it better now.
Mm-hmm. And also a little mix in from an exciting point of a rap battle.
Obviously, he's getting, as most presidents do, they get cocky, they're into their second term, already a couple of years in. President Bush got really cocky with the media his second term.
Yep.
I think during the State of the Union, President Obama should look back at Boehner, just start doing the rope-a-dope. Come on. Hit me first. First hit's free. Go ahead.
This really was one of those moments where you just be like, man, near the end of the State of the Union, that could have been a mic drop moment. He just walk off. Turn around, drop the mic in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Just
I have more to say. I'll tweet it.
I know because I won both of them.
Then on the video, it kind of zooms in on Obama. Then the print comes up, Thug Life.
Oh. I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, so that's – and people have already done some of them from last night on that moment. It's just – I feel like I could need a little something extra.
Well, so, what else you got?
I've also got the GOP's response to the State of the Union. That is done by Senator Joni Ernst. It's cut 11.
She's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I listened to her – rebuttal, response, whatever.
This was
driving home.
Okay.
So I got to hear it, and it was just complete nonstop pandering there at the end. It was so over the top, it was irritating. Even though I'm a patriotic guy, hear the national anthem, I get goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
Space launches, even though we're not going to the moon. You see the rocket clear the camera, and you see the United States flag. I get goosebumps from that. But just the nonstop pandering at the end. Shut up. I know what we know what you're saying. It's a great country. Perfect? No. Anywhere near perfect? No. Best around? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only thing you need to say.
Yeah, but it's got to be a political response.
All right.
These are important issues the new Congress plans to address. We'll also keep fighting to repeal and replace a health care law that's hurt so many hardworking families. We'll work to correct executive overreach. We'll propose ideas that aim to cut wasteful spending and balance the budget. We'll advance solutions to prevent the kind of cyber attacks we've seen recently. We'll work to confront Iran's nuclear ambitions. And we'll defend life, because protecting our most vulnerable is an important measure of any society. Congress is back to work on your behalf, ready to make Washington focus on your concerns again.
Now, unfortunately, all that substantive stuff that she had said right then was overshadowed by what she started her speech with, which was cut 12.
As a young girl, I plowed the fields of our family farm. I worked construction with my dad. To save for college, I worked the morning biscuit line at Hardee's. We were raised to live simply, not to waste. It was a lesson my mother taught me every rainy morning. You see, growing up, I had only one good pair of shoes. So on rainy school days, my mom would slip plastic bread bags over them to keep them dry. But I was never embarrassed, because the school bus would be filled with rows and rows of young Iowans with bread bags slipped over their feet. Our parents may not have had much, but they worked hard for what they did have.
Oh, look at you. You got the name brand bread bag.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the pertinence to all this? I know it's about just the theological differences between Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, but part of it right there was her... And this is sort of the template, her starting out trying to introduce herself to the people watching so they know who she is and where she comes from and all that kind of crap.
I only had one pair of shoes. So did I. Big deal. Try wearing tough skins to school. Yeah. Try sitting down wearing tough skins.
Well, the problem is, like I said, she said a bunch of substantial things after this, but most things that everyone focused on was the bread bag shoes. And that's what ended up trending on Twitter and all of social media. People are taking photos of their feet in bread bags. Some people are taking photos of their feet in actual loaves of bread.
I was just going to say that. We should take pictures standing in bread.
Yes.
Great big, like, ones that you dump cheese into. What do you call those?
Oh, bread bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the best. So everyone got excited about that. And
well, that's what happens when you don't say anything of consequence.
Right.
If everything you say is flotsam and jetsam, then they're going to focus at you and your stupid story.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think
we worked hard when I was a child. A lot of people work hard. Mm-hmm. You want credit for it? You want credit for going out and working because nobody's going to hand you anything? I appreciate the work ethic, but I don't care about you. Tell me what you're going to do to fix everything. You and your bread feet ain't going to do it.
And that's what happens now is everyone focuses on these random things.
We were always excited when Mama got a yeast infection. Because we thought, new shoes. Our Hispanic neighbors had to wear taco shells for shoes.
Oh, my God.
And gyros. That's the Greek neighbors.
Right.
My baby sister had to wear pita pockets.
Don't forget about the Persian neighbors and their falafel shoes.
Oh. Who would wear paninis?
Italians.
Oh.
Probably sucks it when you got to put your foot in that press.
How long I got to cook my feet?
It's not a panini without the marks.
Is there one more?
If you want, just a reminder of who she was for her campaign ad.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. So when I get to Washington, I'll know how to cut pork.
Joni Ernst, mother, soldier, conservative.
My parents taught us to live within our means. It's time to force Washington to do the same. To cut wasteful spending, repeal Obamacare, and balance the budget.
How many hundreds of years does this have to go on? It's the same thing. You can play audio from political platforms as long as we've been able to record audio. And it's the same crap every time. Chicken in every pot and a Buick in every whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Got to cut wasteful spending. When are we finally going to get a handle on it?
Never.
Why
despite the fact everyone runs on it.
Of a couple hundred years of this government functioning, you've got the answer. You can't have the answer because not everybody pays in. Not everybody works hard and gives back to society. So you can't really run the company. I understand this concept. You can't run it as a business because most businesses, everybody that works there, does something.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they go bye-bye.
We're bad late again, aren't we? Yes. All right.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
3:39, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is at KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Join Me. Not a whole lot going on right now. Let's get started off in Grand Prairie, eastbound I-30, right at MacArthur. Got some road construction there blocking the left lane. Traffic is jacked up back to the bush. And in Louisville, northbound I-35 between Valley Ridge and FM 407 Justin Road. Road construction there has the roadway stopped down to just one lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from FM 1171 Main Street. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Arizona State University Online. Tonight, rain and an overnight low of 41. Tomorrow, more rain and a high of just 42. Right now, 61 and 97 won the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Emailing back and forth with a cop listener today, and he asked, when are you going to do another police fire parade?
Mm-hmm.
I said, it takes a lot of manpower, a lot of hours, and I don't think Clear Channel would help us with it, organizing it, because everybody's already stretched thin up here. And even if the station could help, I don't think they'd know how to go about it.
Yeah, because no one up here other than those of us on the show have ever done something like it.
And until you get in the middle of it, you have no idea. Mm-mm. What lies ahead.
Yeah, because
and he actually offered to help organize as much as he could.
That would be awesome, but
he also said we need to have it run right to the middle of South Lake and don't invite them.
All right, that's pretty
from another officer.
That is vindictive.
Damn.
So I think we normally had it in September every year.
Yeah, usually around September 11th.
And I know at first blush you're going, okay, what's the big deal? You invite all these departments and then you meet in one place and you drive to another.
Yeah.
And in essence, that's all it is.
It is, but see, that's the beauty of it is, like, if we went to our promotions department and said, hey, we want to do this, their initial thought would probably be, yeah, it doesn't seem that difficult, like you just said, Russ. People meet, they drive somewhere in a line, and that's about it. But it's so much more than that. You think you know.
The only struggle that we ran into every year was positioning the cars for the final picture at the end. But really, all it is, I don't know why we always felt like we needed confirmations from departments. If you come, you come. If you don't, you don't.
That's true.
It's not like we buy anything extra.
No, but the one area that it does help, at the very least, if we get an RSVP, is then we can start drawing up a plan for the big photograph, for the poster that will eventually go on sale. Because it depends on where you're going to take the photograph and how many vehicles, types of vehicles you're going to have.
Where the sun is going to be that time of day.
Uh-huh.
Normally, we're always ready around noon, so really almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. The good thing is that everyone that's there for the parade, all the officers, the firefighters, everyone, they're pretty good at following instructions. So that's the good part. If you tell them to go over here, they'll do it.
You need help directing traffic? They got that.
Yep.
So one of the last years that we did it, everything was moving fine, and all of a sudden one squad car stops short, and an ambulance runs into the back of him.
Oh, man.
Well, that's probably contained.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go focus on this stuff over here.
Yeah.
If anybody's hurt, you got the box, and the cop can do the traffic.
That's just embarrassing.
Exchange driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm. exchange city insurances.
Really, all we'd have to do is just find some place that would let us be the starting point, find some place that would agree to be the end, like mm-hmm. TMS. I don't want another one of those two-hour drives, though.
That is a long, long haul.
First year, we went from some place in Dallas all the way down to the Motorplex in Ennis. And because we're only driving like 20 miles an hour, that's a long damn drive.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the easiest was...
American Airlines would be a cakewalk. Just call Cuban. Hey, yep. Can we do this Saturday morning? You guys never have anything going on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Start there. Maybe drive out to... I don't know. TMS is a little far.
Yeah. You start at AAC, then you could... I almost said Texas Stadium, but that's gone now.
I don't want to have nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did that a couple times. Started or ended there.
Yeah, that's before it was really popular with... The plates, the tectonic plates.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was still there.
Yeah, that's not really a good backdrop.
No, that's just kind of just some a couple of pieces of equipment and nothing.
Something will flash on me.
I would
Who do we know with a big venue?
All right, not Eddie Gossage.
Well, Eddie Gossage is fine. We've done it out there. It's one of the cooler posters that we put out.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal.
And I got to take the Batmobile around the racetrack.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And what were you going to say?
Cowboys Stadium in Arlington is pretty much the hub of everything, any sort of event. So that's an option to end. That'd be a good photograph. We did it at the ballpark one year. That was a good photo. I mean, they all were good photos.
Yeah, straight down 30's not bad.
It wasn't
straight
that
across
bad.
30.
Didn't one start from Lone Star Park at one year?
I think so. Started or ended, I don't remember. All right. I know it's a fascinating segment. I just thought it was funny. We'll have it right down the middle of South Lake and don't invite them. Man, you guys are mean. Okay, you got more audio? You want to start news?
Let's start news.
446, 346. Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, 2015. Birthdays today from the Spice Girls, Emma Bunton,
best known as Baby Spice. She turns 39. Gina Davis turns 59. Billy Ocean, he turns 65. Mac Davis turns 73. One of his biggest hits, Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me. And also he wrote for Elvis in the Ghetto. Jack Nicklaus is 75. And Ann Wedgeworth is 81. Remember her?
Ann Wedgeworth?
Mm-hmm.
No.
She played Lana on Three's Company.
I don't know who that is.
Really? That's the only reason I highlighted it.
So one of the...
It said she played the oversexed Lana.
Oh, yeah, the whore.
Yeah, on Three's Company.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
The whore.
Gotcha. A Dallas County prosecutor who allegedly threatened the job of police officers as they arrested him on a drunken driving charge has been fired from the DA's office. Justin Moore is 28 and was arrested on the misdemeanor charge earlier this month. New DA, Susan Hawk, has recused her office from the case. Richard Alpert, a Tarrant County assistant DA who specializes in DWI prosecutions, was appointed as special prosecutor in the case. According to records, Moore was speeding, weaving in and out of lanes, tailgating, and nearly sideswiped another car while driving on Highway 67 in the early morning hours of January 4th. The report says officers noticed the strong smell of alcohol from his breath, and he had bloodshot eyes. When asked for his license, he couldn't find it and instead showed them his district attorney's badge. When asked how much he drank that night, he responded,
"All of it."
What kind of question is that? Records show Moore refused to get out of the car and said he was still looking for his driver's license. An officer then pulled him out of the vehicle, and he said, "Did you just grab me?" The report also says he refused to take a field sobriety test and was then arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. It also states he told the officers that they worked for a racist department and accused them of being members of the KKK. And then he told them they weren't going to have jobs on Monday. They also told him they were idiots, worked for a sad department, and he told the black police sergeant who responded to the scene that he was an Uncle Tom.
Any possible ways out of this, you sealed up.
Mm-mm.
It's like we said before, you got one of two options. You prove you weren't drunk, which means everything you said sober.
Right.
Now, if you were drunk, a lot of people would ignore that. Sometimes I've never gotten that drunk to where I decided I'm going to mouth off to an officer of the opposite, another race.
Mm-hmm.
When there are no other witnesses other than officers. And call the only one that might help you out, call him an Uncle Tom.
Yeah, it's... Ooh, no.
God, if he goes to jail, I'd just like to be one of the officers mosey on up. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, my brother.
Yeah.
That'll work for the DA's office. Yes. Prosecutor.
Yes.
You're supposed to be on the cop's side on all of this.
You would think. But he said they worked for a sad department. They were all idiots. I mean, the stuff you heard me say, it's just, damn, dude. This is one of those times where you really think, what were you asked in the interview? And what did you say? Because you clearly don't believe any of what you must have said, or in at least a good portion of your job.
I'll be really curious on which way a defense attorney goes on this. Obviously, they're going to have to focus on the criminal aspect, the PR nightmare. That's there regardless.
Yeah. Typically in DWI.
It's like you mouth off and you do all this stuff. You eliminate all your possible outlets as far as defense, and then you refuse the field sobriety test.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does that make? All that means is you're going to lose your license for a while.
Yeah. You refuse the test, and you're definitely getting arrested. And another interesting thing is typically in DWI cases, like speeding as well, there's usually some type of plea deal that'll happen, especially if it's your first one. If this is his first one, some type of plea will be reached. But that's for a normal person. Now you have a special prosecutor attached to it, and this guy had the job that he had. You wonder if they try to make an example out of him and be like, we're not going to offer you any plea deals. Or if any plea deal they offer.
They would offer, if it's your first go-round, they would offer obstruction of a passageway.
If you were lucky.
Yeah. And then it becomes deferred, and then there's nothing on your record. But I don't know if they still offer that.
It's not typically offered right out of the gate. It's one of those things that if your attorney thinks that they can get it, sure, but you're the only person I know that has been that fortunate. Everyone else that I know that's been arrested on suspicion of DWI has either somehow got it dismissed based on evidence or it's on their record.
Who said I got a DWI?
I said suspicion.
Oh. No, we were going to fight that, Everett and me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Judge Coffey came out and goes, tell you what, nobody was in the courtroom. Nobody. Let's do this. What did I have to do? I forget. Wasn't much.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
You just had to go to a couple of classes, right?
I think.
Well, like alcohol awareness class?
Yeah.
Possibly.
So he probably said, okay, tell you what,
do that.
You go to a couple of classes.
You get it done in a few months. We'll erase her. She's done. Deferred. And something happened. One of the bailiffs or something heard me talking about alcohol on the air. Called. He didn't know who I was. Called his office, and they revoked my probation and left me on probation for a year instead of 3 months.
Oh.
So after the year was up, and I knew I was in the clear,
mm-hmm.
That's when I started railing on him on the air.
On Judge Coffey?
Yeah. And listeners started calling his court. I didn't tell anybody to call anybody.
Sure.
Finally, they called up the station. Can we work a deal on this? All right, here's what I want. I want a donation to Operation Kindness. And I want you to pose in a picture with us dressed like a pimp. And that motherfucker did it.
Yes, he did. That photo poster size in our office for years. I love that poster.
Took us out to a steakhouse in Fort Worth. We had lunch, drank, took the picture with a professional photographer, all of us dressed like pimps. And he was happy to do it. He turned out to be really a good guy. I think Judge Coors knows him.
Would make sense. Yeah, I'm not. Do you have a copy of that poster?
There's obviously one someplace. I have no idea. I probably have it in storage.
Okay. I was just wondering because I know at CBS they had some of those old wall decorations that I don't know how many of them you had copies of or had any of them. But I just thought it was weird. It's like on one hand, be like, oh, yeah, I can put that poster back up. But then it's going to be kind of weird because I need to alter it a bit because there's only one person in that photo that's still on the show. And that's you, Russ.
Who else was in the photo?
It was you, obviously.
Everett was in it.
Judge Coffey. Oh, Everett. I'm sorry, Everett. So two, you and Everett. The rest were Dan Lewis, JD, and was Eddie in it? I can't remember. I think he might have been.
I don't remember. Maybe Valerie. I don't know if Valerie was around.
No.
Make any difference. But no, he's a good guy. I like Judge Coffey.
It's just funny, though. Well, I didn't tell anybody to call anywhere. Next thing you know, the judge calls in. We need to work a deal.
Hey, Papa, can we work a deal on this?
We done worked a deal.
Well, what can I do?
Let me think about it. I'll call you later.
Mm. What?
Nope.
Honestly, how cool did that feel when he called in and said, hey, and he's asking you to make a deal with him, the man overseeing your case, the man that had he so chosen could have tossed your butt in jail.
I didn't do anything.
I know. I'm just saying.
It was at the beginning, I was pissed off.
Right.
And then, you know, it turns out that he's a really good guy and it was miscommunication. And me talking on the air about alcohol or anything had nothing to do with probation. They said, and they fired the probation officer.
Ooh.
Because she was in on it.
Hmm.
I like getting people fired.
Being a-hole. Man. Mm.
Yeah, because normally you're always at their mercy regardless of how, if you think you've been treated wrongly or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here. Stand up for the little drunk man.
I got chill bumps. That's cool.
All right, go ahead. Actually, we need to break now. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
401. This is KEGO, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coys and Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Arizona State University Online. Still not a whole lot going on right now. Let's get started off in Grand Prairie east on I-30 right at MacArthur. Road construction there still has that left lane shut down. Traffic is jacked up back to the bush and a side street accident for you in Fort Worth. Northbound at Hewlin Street right at Vickery got an accident there that has traffic backed up from the Clear Fork of the Trinity River. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Backstrom on Fox. Tonight, rain. Overnight low 41. Tomorrow, more rain and a high of just 42. Right now, 61. The 97 won the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Okay, go ahead, Daniel.
Homeowner Diane Andrashak of Middleton, New York, said she came home to find an empty lot where she had lived with her husband of 9 years.
Take half of that, bitch.
Mm-hmm. She said, none of my belongings were taken out. Everything was in the house. I'm in shock. Still, I'm in shock. She said, I don't know what happened. I don't know anything. I know that when I got here, he, meaning her husband, was already down at the police station. We weren't fighting. We weren't arguing. Her husband...
So they weren't estranged?
No.
Oh, I thought they were going through a divorce.
No, this is even better. Her husband, James Ryan, allegedly rented an excavator and bulldozed the single-family home without a permit Monday morning. Police say he was charged with criminal mischief. Here's where
That's it. He bulldozed the house. Well, it's his house.
Yeah, but this is really where it gets fun. The couple was renovating the home, and he allegedly told investigators that the house was in a state of disarray and couldn't be repaired. His wife said, I asked him, just kidding around, if he was going to knock down the house with a bulldozer. And he said, yeah. I thought he was kidding. Now the couple's homeless.
Was this like during the day?
Yeah, I guess like before.
Yeah, I guess it would be. It's not like you can go rent an excavator. What is it?
Excavator. Yeah.
Yeah. In the middle of the night.
Yeah, this is one of those conversations that, you know, he was frustrated, I guess, and it happened in the morning before she went to work. So she's like, so what are you going to do? Get a bulldozer and knock it down?
Uh-huh.
She went to work, came home, gone.
Told you.
Why are you surprised? I said, yeah.
I don't know. I've had projects go bad before.
Little,
you know, maybe he was just going to get rid of a fence or maybe a small addition to the house. And it's like, all right, a nick part of the big, all right, maybe I can clean that up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it just gets worse and worse. And you go, this noise.
It's kind
of, that obviously wasn't the case because he didn't take any of the stuff out of the house.
No.
And he's got no history of mental illness, no criminal record.
As he far as we know.
No. Lost his mind and mowed his house down.
Yes. And honestly, it's what it sounds like. Because here's, maybe this goes into part of it, why the renovation and why you thought, I'll just knock the sucker down. The house was built in 1956. It's 840 square feet, or it was, with three bedrooms, one bathroom. Property records show it last sold in November of 2005 for $160,000. So maybe he saw this vast 860 square foot home and thought, screw it.
Well, normally if you tear a house down, you need to shut off all the utilities. You can't just mow a house down and not expect water and gas and everything else to be shooting in the air.
And that's why typically the city wants a permit.
Did he? Well, yeah.
We'd like to be aware when you do this kind of thing. So I
know, and I'll bet the dildo didn't even bother to record any of this.
Probably. And in case you ask, no, I don't know if he turned off all the utilities before mowing it all down. That's one of those things, again.
Maybe he's worked in construction, and he did it ahead of time, shut all that stuff off, because even I know, not having any clue about construction, that, hey, you go through a house with a plow, you're going to bust pipes, things are going to start shooting in the air, you're going to have natural gas, you're going to have water, probably get electrocuted.
Mm-hmm, yeah. On the other hand, I guarantee you that there are some people that would not think of that. Because what you have a tendency to do is you seem to think that whatever you're thinking is the bottom, least common denominator, or most common.
No, I think about whatever I'm about to do, I already know I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm overly cautious.
But most people,
not that it helps.
And you think that if you think that, surely everyone else has thought of it, but that's not always the case.
Hang on, something's on Channel 11 right now.
It is. Bud Gillette is also there live with the latest on this one. Bud, how's he doing?
Firefighters can't tell me that he was in stable condition when he left the scene, arriving here at Texas Health.
Someplace in Carrollton.
Fort Worth.
And I can gather, forklift fell off of a truck and onto a worker.
Yes.
The incident occurred late this morning at the Pennington Concrete Construction Company offices. We're told a man was a contract employee with a load atop the forklift when it began to keel to one side. He tried to jump clear but was pinned underneath. Arlington firefighters were first on the scene but didn't have the equipment at hand to move that forklift precisely. Took a Fort Worth Fire Department team using air-filled bladders to...
All right, it's taking him too long. Do you have the story pulled up?
Yes. Yeah, firefighters in Euless freed a man who was trapped underneath a forklift Wednesday morning.
Okay, pretty comprehensive.
Therein lies the difference between print and TV. All you need right there in the lead.
I'm surprised he's alive.
Well, like I said, it sounded like he got lucky. He tried to jump his way clear and just didn't quite get far enough.
That is always a sick feeling when you're on a piece of equipment.
And it's faltering?
Well, it starts to lean. I've been like on my riding mower before. Ooh. I've got hills that are like, I don't know, 45 degree, something like that.
At your current house?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've always thought that your house, that your current home is more level, but I remember most, the South Lake one having like some serious hills that you had almost toppled yourself over.
Yeah, and you feel the mowers start to shift, and it's like you suck most of the seat up your ass,
yeah,
and you just hope that it balances out.
I did that one time in, one time, stupid me. I did that a few times in high school when I was driving on Green Oaks Boulevard, and the speed limit says 45. No one does it. I had to be pushing 90 because I was going from South Arlington to North Arlington trying to make curfew. And I had to tell all the guys in the car at one point, everyone moved to the right because that car was coming up. And you talk about sucking the seat inside your butt, my God.
You know, you can slow down. Everybody lean to the right. Why don't you slow down?
You don't know my mother. It's better to risk the rollover. It was, man, because I was in that SUV and it was just like, this thing's about to go. Everyone lean to the right.
I'm going to guess it didn't roll.
It did not. But it was the closest it had ever been. And just it really felt like it was right on that point where had I not told those guys to lean, we may not have been upright.
Ooh. The only time I've come close to that is I drove a car for a long time and then bought a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a tight corner. Totally forgetting, hey, I'm not in that car anymore.
Yeah.
And the truck starts to lean. Oh, shit. It was so bad I actually had to pull off the road and just calm down for a second.
I would imagine. Oh yeah, because that was what 15 years ago that happened to me in that Blazer, and it still wigs me out thinking about it.
Yeah, you suck one car seat up your ass, you won't do that again.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, it's taking me a little bit to go through some of my pages because I have a cut thumb and a Band-Aid.
I know, blame it on me.
If you get dumped today, you'll probably feel empty and hopeless for a while. A new study just found it takes about 11 weeks to feel better about a breakup. That's a little less than 3 months. The study found 71% of people start to see their breakup as a good thing after 11 weeks and fully enter the recovery zone.
About 11 minutes.
11 whole minutes?
Yeah. When my last relationship died.
Oh, well, your last one, sure. Because the way your last one worked is you had already come to grips with the end of their relationship for months before it actually ended.
Actually, almost a year.
There you go.
But we had to make sure everybody stayed happy until the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Then we didn't have one. And it's like, damn, I wasted a year.
I wouldn't say you wasted it. It probably was for the best.
Doesn't make any difference. What the hell, they calculate 11 weeks?
See, that's where they said in the study. So it's like people, they probably had different parameters saying, okay, when did you start socializing again? When did you start doing this or that? How often did you think about your ex, you know, a week after you broke up? What about 6 weeks?
I just kept checking dogfart.com hoping she was on there.
And if she was, that would have made you feel better?
Yes. I'm going to guess it's longer if you, this sounds like those are all like just normal relationships, not marriages.
No. And actually, there is a twist when it comes to the marriages. Divorces are much harder to get over. A different study found that it took 18 months before someone started seeing the positives in life after a divorce.
Well, that's because it's not just a quick cut. With Mandy and me, it was just a quick cut. Sort of the fact she left all her stuff at my house and her dogs.
And also the fact that you had to track down your own Mustang. I mean,
Corvette.
Thank you. Other than all that, it was a quick cut. It's a quick cut for her because she took off in your car.
And then left all of her stuff.
Yeah. Did she ever come back and get any of it?
I had to have it shipped over to her.
Okay.
I said, you can get it. I don't have to be at home. None of the codes have changed. Everything's fine. Just whenever. By the way, your dogs are still here.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's amazing. And she just left all of that.
And then all the stuff gets to her house. One of the movers told me this. They're unloading the boxes, and Mandy's stepdad said, I hope he packed your plates. We really need those. You got my Corvette. Damn. You're worried about cheap ceramic plates?
Oh, my God. You can go to Walmart and pay $20 and get a whole new set.
You got a free car.
Well,
until I got it back.
Well, that too. That's just such an odd thing. We need those plates.
Fat bastard. Okay. Still unhappy. Move on.
Okay. There's some speculation that the New England Patriots intentionally deflated footballs in a playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday.
I thought there was a story that actually came out today that said 9 of the balls were underinflated.
Yes.
That sounds like they said, you know, if it was all intentional, then maybe they'll lose a draft pick or something like that. Seems like that would be a bigger deal than just, well, you lose a couple of picks.
That's the thing is, though, this is somewhat uncharted territory.
Well, it's not really. It's regulation. The balls are supposed to be pumped to certain PSI.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the punishment for this infraction is uncharted territory because they've really never had to deal with it.
How do they read the story? Maybe it'll answer the questions I've got.
11 of the 12 balls given to the Patriots for Sunday's game were underinflated by 2 pounds per square inch, less than is required by NFL regulations. A source has described the NFL as being, quote, disappointed, angry, and distraught, although there's been no official comment. An NFL higher-up told ProFootballTalk.com that the NFL is expected to wrap up its investigation in 2 or 3 days, but it's unclear how the league might penalize the Patriots, if at all, which I'm sure they're going to have to do something. That's what they're probably having to figure out now is, what do we do? Because this team is going to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's not like it was an unfair advantage. You've got underinflated balls. Everybody's playing with the same balls.
No.
During the plays, it's not like you swap out balls, do you?
They do, actually. When your offense is on the field, you play with your team balls. When your kicker kicks a ball, you play with your team's kicker's balls.
Okay. Hang on. I think Channel 11...
During the regular season, the Patriots are, of course, under investigation, accused of cheating in Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Colts. 11 of the 12 balls used by the Patriots.
Already heard that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Does it make it easier to catch?
It can make it easier to catch because the ball's softer. And also, depending on the quarterback, most of them would say a deflated ball is going to be easier to grip, easier to throw, especially in colder conditions or wet conditions.
How did they finally catch on that the balls were underinflated?
There was, at one point during the third quarter of the game, one of the officials had, they'll replace the balls in almost every play, and he had felt it and tossed it back to the sideline, and they think that's where the suspicion started, and afterwards the referees said, we should check these. Told the league gathered up the balls, and 11 of the 12 are underinflated. Which, this is something that, before the NFL's result of the investigation of the balls being deflated, they were just looking into it. And the quarterback, Tom Brady for the Patriots, in his weekly radio interview, when asked about it, he said, I think I've heard it all at this point. It's ridiculous. I don't even respond to stuff like this. Then head coach Bill Belichick also said, I can't imagine. I really don't know what to say or know anything about what we're talking about here. Whatever it is, we'll cooperate with them the best we can.
Plead ignorance? I don't know. Yeah, how long did it take before they checked them all? Same day, a few hours, a couple of days?
Last night it was reported.
They're all leaky.
The report came out last night, and the game was on Sunday. So, 2 days.
Okay.
Are the Patriots in a bunch of trouble for some other stuff they've done in the past?
They have, and that's why this compounds the whole situation. In 2007, Coach Bill Belichick was fined $500,000 after he had an assistant spy on the New York Jets' defensive signals, which was later deemed Spygate. The team was fined half that amount and also lost their 2008 first-round draft pick. In this situation, though, you could try to plead ignorance, like you said, Russ, and blame the equipment manager. Say, hey, I'm the head coach. I got more important things to worry about. I am not paying attention to the inflated rate of the football. I'm worried about my coverage in the third quarter, whatever it is.
trying to think if it's that big of a gamble or not. Say you got one that one of the referees catches. This is underinflated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll check the pump pressure on everything. And, you know, they could just feign ignorance like they've done now.
Yeah.
Like, all right, if we get caught, then we just don't use the other balls. No big deal.
There is that.
And if they don't catch us, plus, who knows how long the Patriots have been doing this?
Exactly. And this apparently is, this is not a brand new thing. I saw earlier today, former NFL quarterback Brad Johnson, he won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before that Super Bowl, years ago, he admitted to messing with the balls.
Pine tar?
No. That'd be for baseball. Yeah. Although, actually, pine tar could help. He spent $7,500, gave it to some equipment manager or someone to scuff up the balls a little bit so they're easier to grip and deflate them because he said it'd be easier to grip, easier to throw. $7,500 later, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Maybe make an example out of him. Don't let him play Super Bowl.
So if they do that,
hey, you
the whole team?
Sure.
Okay, so then what do you do? Do you then go to the next team in the AFC, which was the Colts, and say, Colts, you've just backed yourselves into the Super Bowl.
Fine. I really couldn't care less. I don't care who's in the Super Bowl. I mean, if you cheat, you shouldn't have won the game.
And I think at that point, I think for something to be that severe, I think you'd have to have some type of proof that it was an intentional cheat type deal. Now, some would argue that 11 of 12 footballs being underdeflated by 2 pounds per square inch shows intent. It looks like proof of. If it was a couple balls accident, fine, whatever. But, yeah,
and
more
I'm
than
sure
90%.
Professional football has redundant backups. Somebody, it's like packing a parachute. You pack it, and then somebody else checks it, and then somebody else checks it again.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the balls, especially now you're into the playoffs. Everybody's going to be more anal. So I don't see how something like that could just, is it 14? I thought it was, I don't know what they pump them up to.
I forget the range, but
But you get the idea.
Yeah. 14,
I thought it was 12.
I think it is in that, like that 12 to 14-ish type of range.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, there are a number of different fixes you could do, say, for the Super Bowl to make sure that the Patriots don't cheat if you allow them to play. One is you just make everyone use league balls. You have to appoint some guy, hey, you're the ball guy. You're the ball czar.
I think they would just make all of this, just to simplify it, just get the balls from the officials.
Yeah.
The referee comes out.
That's what I mean.
Here's the ball for this play, this game, whatever.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to worry about the Patriots pulling this...
Ballgate.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not even sure if that's what they're calling it right now. But yeah, so you have all these different ideas of different ways to punish the team. Do you punish them in the future as far as draft picks and fines? Do you suspend the coach for the Super Bowl or Russ's route? Just say, you don't get to play in the Super Bowl.
That's what they do in the Olympics. If number two is found out to be cheating, number three becomes number two and so on.
What was the score of the game?
Oh, it was a blowout. Like, New England killed the Colts.
Well, you could say, well, you know, it wasn't the ball. They just beat the Colts. Well, it could have been the fact the balls were underdeflated. I don't know. Where did they play?
They played in New England.
Yeah, and who better to know how the footballs react to that weather than the Patriots?
Right. I know, I'm excited to see what the NFL is going to do, especially since...
Whatever it is if in fact they did it on purpose, it's not going to be gratifying because they're not going to do enough.
It may not be gratifying because I'm kind of with you. I don't care ultimately what happens. I'm just really curious to see how the NFL handles it, especially since the Patriots have been busted in the past. So, kind of like in the criminal system, Patriots got a rap sheet. They've got priors.
Do we know what the relationship of the owner of the team is with the NFL?
It's actually pretty good.
Why?
I'm just curious because if they don't like him, they could possibly want to, hey, I'm going to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll take this. Yes, Brian. What did he want, Alfie?
He was saying that because it was such a blowout, the balls being deflated does not matter.
So is my point moot? Where I said if it was such a blowout, maybe the deflated balls did help him.
Alfie, did Brian say what position he played in the game?
No, I did not.
For either team?
No.
Then I don't think he really knows. No offense, Brian, but unless you're playing in that game, you're not going to ultimately know for certain. You would like to think it was a blowout. Even if the balls were normal, inflate, then they probably still Patriots win.
But the thing is, ultimately, you don't know that because it's been tainted. It's kind of like saying...
And they may know. The Patriots may know, okay, we've won other games by doing this. I'm just speculating, not like everybody else.
Right.
We've won other games doing this. We know it gives us an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's mare out.
And the other thing that I haven't heard anyone...
And that's the problem the Cowboys have. Their balls are overinflated, so nobody can hang on to anything.
That would explain DeMarco Murray fumbling the ball all over the place. Man, that ball's too fat. It's all plump and bouncy. And actually...
Are they supposed to make a ruling before the Super Bowl?
They're going to have to in the next couple of days, because depending on what they do, it may impact the game. The other thing to factor in, though, is that there's money on the line, because as soon as these teams won and knew they were going to the Super Bowl, you've got manufacturers, merchandising, tickets, everything. The machine was running with all the Patriot logos, all the Seahawks logos. So if that all of a sudden changes, that's going to cost money to go back and reprint everything.
Well, you make the Patriots eat it if, in fact, they're found guilty.
That would also work.
Okay, it's another topic I couldn't care less about. Well, when is the Super Bowl?
February 1st. Sunday, February 1st.
Okay, I'm very excited about it.
When was the last Super Bowl you watched?
It was the last time Cowboys made it.
95?
Probably then.
Okay.
No. Mandy and I watched the Super Bowl, I think it was our first year dating.
Okay.
We watched it in the home theater upstairs.
Oh, nice.
And she picked a team. I picked a team. Didn't matter. We didn't really know the stats.
Sure.
But every time that your team scored, the other person got oral.
See?
All I remember is I was really tuna smelling by the end of that game. It's whoever I picked lost.
Did they lose bad?
Yeah. I ate more that day than in my entire life.
See, you guys started out so well. It's so strong.
There's nothing like watching a football game. Because obviously, I already got a bone dog going. Because I'm thinking, somebody score. Because I'm about to bust a nut.
Yeah, you're just ready.
And the other part of the rules that we agree to is, and you can't diddle yourself if, you go a while without scoring.
Gotcha.
So you got to suffer through it.
Oof.
I'm just sitting there eating and humping hair. Like I was playing air pussy.
I've actually seen that as a suggestion before. I think it was in Cosmo. Like if during the Super Bowl or any football game, tell your guy if neither one of you has a vested interest in the teams, do this.
Yeah, I don't know where we came up with the idea. It was fun in the beginning because I think my team scored first.
But then
And she goes, we don't finish.
Oh.
But what if my team don't score again? And I think they only did one more time.
Oh, man.
But they score again, I'm going to finish. I ain't saying nothing. Because I'm about ready to go right now. In fact, just thinking about it, I'm ready to go right now.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to thump you.
Open your mouth. All right, baby. Okay, your team scored. All right, open it. Still Kramer shaking. You kind of just apologize.
My bad.
I'll go get you Diet Dr. Pepper. We need a break here?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
4:31, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Arizona State University Online. A few things going on. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Southbound 287, the Martin Luther King Jr. Freeway just before Wilbarger Street, got an accident there. Luckily, it's in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Mitchell Boulevard. Side street accident for you in Fort Worth. Northbound Hewlin Street right at Vickery, got an accident there. It's blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is kind of jacked up back from the clear Fort Trinity River. And finally, in Grand Prairie, eastbound I-30 right at MacArthur. Still got that road construction there. It's being cleared out right now, though. Traffic is backed up back from the bush. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Walgreens. Rain in store for this evening, 41 for the low. Tomorrow, more rain and a high of 42. Yeah, just 42. Right now, 61 degrees at 97.1 The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Chloe, have you decided if you're going to go out with that gay guy this weekend?
I have not made a decision.
Well, you can't wait till the last minute. The guy has other plans.
Well, how do you know he's got other plans?
Well, first of all, there's just protocol. Dates, respecting somebody's time, mm-hmm. You give an answer. Plus, he's probably getting all worked up just thinking about his weekend with you. And he's not your superior, so it's okay for you guys to date.
Yeah, you're not even in the same department.
Yeah, he's in sales.
Well, yeah, I know that. What happens if things do work out and we get into a fight? Just make things awkward.
You know, I don't think I can continue with this.
Why?
Just to pound Chloe to make him feel uncomfortable, he just made me gurgle bile. What if things work out? I've never had anybody come at me that way. Well, what if things work out?
It's a ploy. Don't fall for it.
No, I think he's too stupid to pull a ploy.
Okay, but fine. Then let's stick with it. Let's explore it momentarily.
All right.
If things work out.
Well, hold on. No, slow down.
Okay.
What would make things in your mind work out?
If we happen to get along and he's a cool guy.
Sparks.
Whatever. He happens to like Applebee's. Whatever.
Is that all it takes to get you to suck somebody's
I'm pretty easy, man. I love like me some Applebee's. And
what?
If you like Applebee's. Is that on their new pub diet?
Man, this is the best date ever. I think we should come here every Sunday and enjoy this as a family.
Order a Brutus together?
What's a Brutus?
It's just a big-ass beer.
Sounds gay already. I think you should tell him something. Did you immediately say no when he said, hey, would you like to go to drinks?
No, I was just like, I don't know. I got to see what's going on this weekend.
Got to see if I'm queer this weekend.
were you just trying not to be mean, I guess?
Yeah, no, I was, you know, and it was for real. I don't know what's going on this weekend.
How about you just go, I appreciate it. It's very flattering, but I'm not the homosexual man.
Well, because at first, until he walked away, until he left... And I got to thinking about it. I was like, I really should.
You start playing it back in your head of, did he mean as a date? There was no reason to bring up that he was gay unless he meant it as a date.
Yeah, because those were kind of two separate conversations.
Yeah, really, I think at this point, the only way to find out is to go.
Taunt him.
I'm going to taunt him.
Get you some roller skates. A thong. Great big headphones with the antenna on them. Uh-huh. Go roller skating together. Right. Start tanning right now.
All
right,
now I'm good. Jesus.
Go get hot waxed. Maybe some Simon eyes. That way his won't stick to you.
That's one of the things he did mention about getting my toenails painted.
What'd he say?
He goes, I think that's cool that you paint your toenails.
Maybe he thought, it was an indicator to him that you were gay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any other guys that get, I know guys, I guess, that get pedicures, but not get their toenails painted.
Well, I know plenty of guys that do.
Get their toenails painted?
Yes. I say plenty. I know a few.
Who? Ben Garrison? Tell me it's Ben Garrison. No. Is it Ben?
No, that's one person that would know. He would never do that.
I bet he does.
He makes fun of me for when I do it. Random friends. When I used to live off Greenville, there was a few people. We would all go all together, girls and guys.
I was butt this guy in the bathroom stall. He looked down to my legs and went, "Hey, your toenails are nice. You gay?
We have something in common."
And then chicks seem to like it. I've been around chicks and Chloe, and he's wearing his flip flops, and they go, "That is so cool that you." You're fine with having your toenails painted. What color is it this week?
They're orange. I need to redo bad.
Yeah, it looks like you got some toes that are just kind of bland and fleshy.
Yeah.
I get all mine painted yellow. Tell women I got that toe fungus.
I'm surprised you actually went out of your house with them only painted like that. Because most women will not go barefoot or flip-flops, whatever, unless their toes are all the way done.
Yeah, I'm in that I don't care. Beard, toenails, not painted. I don't care.
Painted, not painted, primer.
Yeah. Got some Bondo on there.
I've never had a manicure.
You should actually.
No.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. Well, your first time is always weird.
I don't know. I had a girlfriend that used to like to push my cuticles back.
Oh, God, I hate that.
And it hurts.
It hurts bad. I would not recommend that.
What's the problem with the cuticle? The cuticle's there for a reason. It's unsightly. I'm okay with it. To me, that's just weather stripping.
Yeah.
Keeps my fingernails from flopping up.
My mom would do that when I was younger. She'd try to do that and do my – it hurt like hell. So a manicure, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but – I know Chloe gets pedicures. I've gotten a pedicure once in my life, just basically for the experience. And it wasn't all bad. It's definitely awkward because it's just...
They massage your feet while they're doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you go to one of those places where they put your feet in piranha or something?
I didn't do that.
You know what I'm talking about.
They do have the places that have the little fishies.
They'd eat the crap off your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's really exciting. What are you doing? Soaking my feet and eat flesh-eating fish?
Yeah, because when you truly explain what it is, it doesn't sound all that appealing.
None of it's appealing.
Yeah,
because you don't know what part they're going to eat. They're going to eat the little what do you call it?
That's just some nasty shit, Jack.
You might dig it if it's part of like an overall spa package where you get massage.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd do.
It's relaxing.
A spa?
Yeah.
I'm not going to a spa.
Actually.
You
could go to the same place that Everett went to. When he got his massage.
Oh. I think they f*** you off there.
I don't know if they do or not, but the place he was describing, I haven't been, but I've sort of looked it up. And I can see why because what did he say? He was lying down for a massage, and he's just surrounded by naked dudes in like a bathhouse.
I don't see the appeal, the lure.
Oh, I'm not saying you would necessarily enjoy it. I just want to hear about you going.
You never went for the TV show, nothing like that?
Let me think. No.
You should do it. You should do it.
Massage?
Yeah. All that. I think that it would possibly de-stress you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want a really good massage, it's going to have to be from a guy, and I ain't doing that. What if he gets all worked up, and all of a sudden I got something between my cheeks?
First of all, a woman can do plenty as far as a massage.
Yeah, just make sure you have a average-looking chick.
Honestly, that doesn't even matter. Small chick, large chick. if she does deep pressure, you're going to cry.
Again, that doesn't sound luxurious.
I'm not saying you have to go that route. I'm just saying. It doesn't have to be a guy that does it.
Rub me.
What I need the towel for? If I got the towel on, you can't get to my... Rub it too. It's tense. So you think you'll go to Applebee's on your gay date?
If he likes Applebee's. If I go.
Is that where he suggested, or have you guys talked about it?
Yeah, why don't you have Alfie plan out your date? He's perfect at that.
Oh, no, yeah. No way. I'll end it up in some trendy place to where I have to wear a suit and loafers.
And assless chaps.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, no. No.
I'm surprised Chloe didn't just shut this down. No, I'm not going. I give it a... No.
Well, initially on was it Monday, whatever it was, he said he definitely wasn't. He was grossed out by it. But now he seems like, well, I might go.
It's almost like you're curious,
mm-hmm,
what a gay date's like.
Serenading. I'm just in a different mood today. I'm just really tired today.
From what?
Just, I don't know.
Was
I
you
just,
the bottoms last night?
No. <It's not. laughs>
I think you should sing to him.
No. No.
I blew this the first time. I'll see if I get it this time. Bop, 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 bop.
My name is Clovis and I'm on the hunt. I'm gonna go and find me some man stick.
I can't get past it.
Damn, my friend. Oh, man.
I don't know whether to puke or to laugh.
I knew I was going to lose it there. Take him out and go line dancing or something.
There is a nice country western gay bar.
What is it called?
It's called Roundup Saloon.
Yep.
Is that the one
right next to the Circle Jerk Cafe?
Is that the one on Cedar Springs?
Yeah, it is. Right across from Hunky's.
How do you know about this?
I've driven down Cedar Springs before.
Yeah, well, I drive a lot of places. I don't know all the businesses. I couldn't tell you, short of Abuelo's, what's near me.
Yeah. Well, I'm with Alfie. I used to live around the corner from it, so, yeah.
The only reason I know about Hunky's, they used to run ads all the time in the Dallas Observer in the 80s. When I was doing nights here. And Jimmy Steele and I used to talk about Hunky's, and he goes, and oh, I go. And then I said he started going to Sue Ellen's, and then he stopped. You gonna take him to the Roundup Bar?
No. I've been there before.
Why?
It's the chick I dated. That was one of her favorite places to go.
Was you her cuckold? Is that the right word?
Yes. I'm so happy you're familiar with that.
Oh, you guys brought it up before.
I know. I just like hearing you say it.
Just take you out to get some.
No.
Makes me hot. Watch you suck.
No.
Suck it, Flo. Suck it good.
It wasn't that bad, but every once in a while, I was pretty freaky.
Let him stick in your bobo.
No.
Do some salt and pepper on it.
I mean, honestly, this actually sounds like a pretty exciting first date. I mean, if you include it, you know, a nice meal, a couple of drinks, and you go to the Roundup Saloon.
No Roundup. No, not in the mood for Roundup.
Little drinks and dancing.
I can't dance. I can't even do the two-step.
That's funny. I can't either. What dance can you not do? The cha-cha, ballroom dancing, two-step. The dance is called a two-step and you can't do that? I cannot.
I know
it's like left, left, right, left, yeah. Left, right. Something like that?
You nailed it.
It's really simple. But no, I've had many people try to teach me.
I had a chick one time try and teach me at a country bar. I think it was Cowboys. And the only reason I tried is I was working on getting in her drawers.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 90 seconds, she goes, all right, you're right. Sit down.
Oh, my God.
I went, I have no rhythm. I can't dance. I really have no discernible talents whatsoever. She goes, anybody can two-step.
Yeah.
Minute and a half in, she goes, you're right.
Try it.
What?
Just air.
Focus on one person.
Well.
Chloe and his gay date.
Chloe, try it.
It's not a gay date.
It is a gay date. Guy said he was gay. He's taking you out on a date.
Well,
if he takes you to Three Forks or someplace really nice?
No, he will not.
Yeah, but, if he takes you out for a nice steak.
That's the reason I said Applebee's. And I will be paying my part.
I bet he pays for it before the waiter even, while you're in the bathroom or whatever, he pays for it. That way he can look, hey, I got everything covered. Why don't we go back to my place? We'll play some Pong. Listen to some Yanni.
No, God, no.
I get out the WD-40 and we'll like bunnies.
Why WD-40? Yeah, seems manlier.
Yeah. Slick 50's too expensive. Don't worry, I'll pull out and shoot on your back.
Okay, now. So,
now you're back to not being so open to it, Chloe. You can still just go and have a good time.
Maybe he has no untoward thoughts about you and your anus.
Maybe he...
That would make me uncomfortable the entire evening. What if he thinks about thinking about my boo-hole?
Why is he staring at me that way?
Well, why did he have to sit right next to me? Why couldn't he sit across from me?
Ooh, he's a side sitter.
Or you guys are in a booth at Applebee's and both on the same side.
No. Oh, no, man.
Yeah.
No. And then after dinner, you share one dessert.
No, mad.
Come on, close. Let's fake an argument so we can go back home and mad.
That'd be an eventful first date. And one other thing, Chloe, is he may not necessarily go that way. He may want you to be the top. Different relationships mean different things. Just because you're in a gay relationship doesn't mean it's a two-way street. It could be that you're the top and he's the bottom.
You know, there is no top or bottom or
no. There has to be preference. There's no way to other way to do it. Somebody has to be the top. Somebody has to be the bottom.
Well, there's really
unless you're just into rubbing weenies.
No.
Nonstop rocking with ducking. No. Are you circumcised? Hey boy, I'm asking you a question.
Jesus.
No docking, no rocking. No. Top, no bottom, no.
I'm just saying, if the topic comes up, it might be good to already have your answer. So if he says, hey, are you a top or a bottom, this is where you decide.
Yeah.
Don't think about it in the moment.
Why would that be a good idea to already have that, and I'm getting dizzy, and ready to go?
Well, look at it this way.
Well, it depends on what mood you're in. Right. If you're feeling manly, you're top.
Top.
Top. If you're feeling submissive, then you lay on your back, stick your legs in the air like a Kroger chicken, and take it.
No,
and they enjoy the soothing lotion of his goop on you sack.
God.
Oh, yeah. I ruined it.
And Chloe, farting is not going to help you.
Might help getting in.
What?
Lines it just a little bit.
A little less pressure.
Yeah.
No farts will be escaping.
Well, yeah, well, if you do that, that may be like him, you know, a mating call.
Yeah.
Sound of Music or a Vita. Or...
It's like you're putting down a scent. It's like, ooh, he's into me.
I'm excited.
I'm not excited.
I think we should go rent you a tux.
A tux?
Have Limo George pick you guys up in a limo.
Oh, that'd be so romantic.
Well, you know, want to get a tux, get a prom dress.
No.
That's why that goes back to what Dan said. You got to decide if you're top or bottom.
Right.
If you're top, tux. Bottom, prom dress.
Neither one is. No. No. This. No. This. No.
You're a real narcissistic prick. You know it?
I. Okay.
You won't be top or bottom. I don't know. What do you want? Well, I go either way. Well, okay.
Fine. Well, that works out. But yeah, that's. He may not. That's. And if he's open, then you. That's where you decide. Do you want to give or receive?
Yeah.
So how would you start out the conversation?
I don't know. Flip a quarter. You want to be top or bottom? I don't know. Flip a quarter.
I mean,
this could be very exciting. This could be your first weekend to get a cream pie.
No. Oh, my God.
Okay, I knew I could push it to a point.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
What else do you have, Daniel? We got a few minutes.
Okay. Are you guys going to go out Friday or Saturday?
No, it hasn't been.
What?
Just curious.
You're not going to sing to him?
No, I can't sing.
I think it's just the thought. Like if a guy writes a song for his girlfriend, whether you can sing or not.
Yeah, it's the
chicks
effort.
Are just enamored.
It's the same way when when Russ cooks for a chick, whether she likes the way it tastes or not, it's the fact that he put forward that effort.
You don't have to sing the tractor song.
No, definitely not singing that song.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my ass again. I'm gonna be queer again. No more loneliness. Only penisness. I'm gonna be queer again. Love's gonna live here, my ass. Love's gonna live here, my ass. Love's gonna live here again. No more loneliness. Only penisness. Love's gonna live here again. Now let's pick and grin. And I'll give you a Roy Clark plate job. I knew I could work Buck Owens in this week somehow.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Oh, it's exciting. Just think about it as an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works. Oh, it's an adventure. That makes everything just wonderful.
You know, if you're smart, you go, you know, I'm dating somebody right now, and she's probably not going to be really big on me going out and getting some.
Well, it's a little late now.
You should have thought about that earlier.
And then you also screw up by, I don't know, Alfie, were you sitting there when this guy approached Chloe?
Yeah.
All right. So you already knew about it.
Yeah.
So we were going to find out regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you effed up by telling us anything. Like last year, the year before, whenever you met Eunice or whatever the name we gave her.
Whore.
A whore. Yeah, the whore. Went to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
You screwed up by asking me my advice. Hey, what do you think I should do? We've been dating for like 4 or 5 months, and she's going on a trip around Christmas to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my advice to you is never, ever tell me anything like this again.
And then Russ spent the next 6 months proving it.
Yes, absolutely.
And here we are now, like a year later.
Or actually, 2 years. I think it was later. 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2 years ago.
You guys broke up, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
I told you not to let her go.
No, you didn't. You went back and forth, back and forth.
Hey, make your own decisions. Mm-hmm. Certainly don't ask me for relationship advice.
But I've gotten good relationship advice from you before, like real, legitimate advice. So, hey, I'll ask you this.
Well, the advice he gave you 2 years ago was real and legitimate. He gave you the pros and cons of letting her go, and then he gave you the pros and cons of not letting her go.
Well, right in the middle of all the pros, all of a sudden the cons would come up. He'd give me a bunch of cons and be like, okay, I'm there, and then he would switch.
See, that's the problem when you ask somebody for advice, is then you critique the manner in which they give it to you.
Yeah, forget about the fact that I'm giving it to you for free.
Right.
A psychologist would charge you $150 for like a 45-minute session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I gave you both sides, probably saved you 6 weeks of therapy, figuring out what to do with a relationship. And instead of saying, thank you, I appreciate your effort and your guidance, it's, well, you killing my relationship.
Well, yeah, because
you're a thankless.
Well, just what the type of advice that you gave was not as good as the advice that you had given in the past.
Oh, so my advice has gotten worse over the years.
No, just in this one instance, it was not good.
What was wrong with my advice?
Because you
did you guys break up?
Yes.
Did she go to Mexico?
Yes.
Did I tell you not to let her go?
Yes, but you told me to also to let her go.
I said only if you trust her. Obviously, you didn't trust her. You wouldn't ask me for advice.
Oh, Jesus.
You're a stupid motherfucker.
Oh.
Keep it up, and we'll sing Buck again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another chorus verse with bluebirds and stuff in your hole.
What?
I want to hear that.
No, that's a Ronnie Millsap song. Sorry.
Well, I want to hear that.
I was writing that for another gay friend of mine.
What, are you working on an album?
Man, I wish I had something for this.
Like one of those Time Life compilations?
give me a second. No.
One of those new...
like a K-Tel. I got no punchline for this.
One of those new pop compilations. That's what I call gay.
That's what I call butt music.
/ jock jams.
Okay, you got time for one story.
All right. Chris Hemsworth has money and he has fame. And he told GQ Australia, you get to Hollywood, you achieve something, and you know who Chris Hemsworth is?
No.
Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He has money and he has fame, but what has it brought him? He told GQ Australia, you get to Hollywood, you achieve something, and then you realize, crap, or S, it didn't actually bring me the happiness I thought it was going to. It didn't fix anything. Look, I mean, I don't wake up, look in the mirror, and go, yep, all is perfect. One thing it did do, however, is bring out some fair weather friends. He said, it's BS. I remember how differently people treated me when things went well. Some directors and producers who never gave an S, at best, they'd have given me a sideways glance. Next time I saw them, they're my best friend, and it's gross.
That's the only problem about if you're a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wonder, why do these people want to buddy up with me? That's why all the people, as if I'm a celebrity, but all the people I know are people I've known for years, or people in the industry, and they know I'm not going to do anything for them.
No.
And certainly don't call and ask me for ZZ Top tickets.
Has it happened recently?
It happened whenever ZZ Top had a big tour. I think it was in the 90s. People I hadn't heard from since the mid-80s. Hey, ZZ Top has their Diablo sandwich tour or whatever.
All right, if it's that tour, then I would have asked for tickets.
Can you get me tickets? I'm at the Eagle. We don't play ZZ Top.
Oh, that's my favorite. Yeah. It's like when we work for 105.3, people would ask, hey, do you have tickets for so-and-so? No.
Talk Station.
Not our show. Not our show.
Call one of your other friends that you never talked to at a music station and get that. Well, I figure you had connections. You know, even if I did, I don't ask for tickets for myself. If I want tickets, I'll go buy them. Since I don't go anywhere, I never really care.
Right.
But if you ask for tickets from the station, then all of a sudden you feel like you owe somebody a favor, and then they ask you to do this thing and then another thing. And there are too many obligations. I don't ask. Are you telling that? Oh, you could probably get something. Didn't I just tell you no already?
Oh, but I'm sure you're Russ Martin. Yeah. They'll have a special stack set aside for you.
But I told you no already. Yes.
Yeah, but I know that's what you say you have to say in case someone asks you, you know, if it's above board. You have to say no. But for me, I know you'll make an exception because we go way back. We go so far back that I haven't talked to you in like 5 years.
And you can tell that you haven't been around me for a while because you still ask me after I've already said no.
Oh, I love it because when we got let go from CBS, somebody asked me for some tickets like a month later. Be like, I don't work there anymore.
Oh. I think that's where my response would have been, absolutely. Be yeah. Happy to do it.
Tell you what, leave them with a receptionist up front. You want a backstage passes? VIP? Meet and greet. Meet and greet? Yeah. Kiss? Yes.
And I'm putting it in an envelope right now. Send another email or a text. Just gave it to the girl at the front desk. She's got it. I don't care what she says. It's there.
Yeah. She's a wily. Don't take her. Don't take whatever she says. She jacks with people all the time. Dan's right. Should have just went. Got done. Up front.
Damn hindsight.
Limos. Set to go.
Congratulations. The contest winner we have or had died. I'm going to just write your name in.
I don't get how people have the balls to call somebody they haven't talked to in 10 years, at least. And ask for something. Yeah. And they always pop up. Luckily, as I've gotten older, most of the people I know have died.
So-and-so died. Good.
Fine. He quit bugging me about the Diablo sandwich tour tickets.
Shut up. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
507, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Al Picoy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagles traffic brought to you by Staples. Getting started off in Dallas, eastbound 635, just before Forest. Got an accident there. It's blocking the HOV and the three left lanes. Traffic there is already jacked up back in the I-5. Probably going to be worse there in a little bit, about a 15-minute delay through it. In Fort Worth also, southbound 35W right at Morningside Drive. Got an accident there. It's in the clearing stages. Traffic is still jacked up. Back from the Fort Worth Mixmaster. Listen to Skull tomorrow morning at 7:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see Seether and Papa Roach at Southside on January 31st. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Backstrom on Fox. Tonight, rain and 41. Tomorrow, more rain and a high of just 42. Right now, 60 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Alfie, really, line one?
He's sincerely confused by the issue.
Yes, Lee.
Hey, Russ. I was wondering how Alfie got from the helicopter to the studio so fast.
Truly. You're serious? You know there is no helicopter.
I actually didn't realize that.
How long have you been enjoying our company?
About, say, 8 months now.
And you thought Alfie could go from a studio to a helicopter back and forth?
I figured you had something there.
Yeah, he uses a telephone. I'm not making fun of you. We had salespeople when I started this whole thing of Black Thunder. They sold rides. Mm-hmm. They told a client, yeah, we'll get you riding Black Thunder, thinking it was real.
I called in a few weeks ago and asked what Black Thunder was, and Alfie said it was a helicopter.
And it is. We just don't own it anymore. But in the 80s, when it was all hit, 97.1, the Eagle, there was a real Bell Jet Ranger helicopter painted black, said Black Thunder on it.
Okay. Gail Lightfoot.
Gail Lightfoot did traffic for a while in it. Jim Hollywood Helms flew it and did traffic.
And thanks to Photoshop, so was Alfie.
Yeah, it was a pretty good job, I did.
It was really nice.
And so was Toots's.
Right. So I stick a cat in it sometimes. And that's another sales opportunity that our current sales department doesn't get. I went, find a company that maybe does a tours of Dallas-Fort Worth in a helicopter. Get them to wrap it black. You don't even have to paint it. Wrapping's a lot cheaper.
Right.
Put the logo on side. Call it Black Thunder. Sell tours in that.
Yeah.
Have it show up for appearances. They used to do that all the time with Jim Helms in the 80s when Moby was doing mornings and Jim was flying Black Thunder. They had it show up and pulled big money to be in an event. Had to be a big enough lot.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I think I went to one of those, and that was just cool. You know, you got a helicopter at your event.
I never knew that there was actually a Black Thunder. I thought it was always a bit.
No, they started it right after the movie Blue Thunder. Uh-huh. Got a Bell Jet Ranger helicopter, painted it black, Black Thunder on it, and went from there. Then we moved. When I started doing mornings after Stern, we need to bring Black Thunder back, just in case you guys want to spend the money down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fake it for a while. Yeah. Obviously, we faked it forever. And then when I moved to CBS, we couldn't use Black Thunder because the Eagle owned it. So I had to come up with something opposite. That's when we changed to White Lightning.
Yeah.
It was just by accident a perfect fit.
And it also worked out at the time. There was a white helicopter that was flying around during rush hour doing traffic, and everyone assumed that was White Lightning.
I think I saw one.
But really, I think at this point, Alfie, quote unquote, has been in Black Thunder longer than anybody. Longer than Gale, longer than Hollywood, Helms, anybody.
Yeah, because what, he's almost 5 years?
Is that right, Alfie?
Yep.
I mean, it would take nothing for a company to do that.
You would think, but
Nobody in sales, well, I don't get it. Why would people want to see a Black Thunder? Yeah. I'm going on to the next cubicle.
What if I find someone that understand?
Maybe I'll go on a gay date just to get this done.
Mm.
I got blow to get a helicopter. Dr. Thornton, you think you could help Chloe with his gay date this weekend if he goes on it?
Sure, I'd be glad to help.
All right, go ahead, Chloe.
Go to what?
Well, you had questions. You said, well, you know, you were already thinking doomsday. You were going into it with just a negative POV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if things work out and then we get in a fight?
Yeah, how would I handle that? Or like, what if all of a sudden you could get into this and this whole bi-curious thing is not really up my alley?
It will be.
Oh, God. Mm. What then?
Well, first of all, I would have really thought you would have shut this down in the beginning.
No, right.
I'm not going. End of story. EAS. #30. That means end of story.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not going. I'm not even open to thinking about it. But you went, well, might.
You look a little pale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am a little pale. Because I would think that was before the Sudafed and amphetamines kicked in.
I don't think that changes your sexual proclivity.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think it does.
Do you want some
Not really.
That's what the D stands for.
What? you thought it was decongestant?
Yep.
Oh.
Tricked you.
Uh-huh, you got a liquid dick.
No, not really, no.
And you're going to have to decide pretty quick if you're going to be top or bottom. Otherwise, we're not going to know what to rent you at the prom store.
No, there's going to be there's no prom.
No, that's right. It's actually really good.
It's not even prom season.
Well, especially if you end up
it doesn't have to be prom season.
Has to be prom season.
To dress up nice and go on a date.
Prom season is coming up. This is around the time when are in like April, May. People start locking in their prom dates early.
Yeah, this is not the time, though.
Sure
this is not April or May.
That's when the event happens, but they got to lock in who their date's going to be.
You got to woo this guy. Sometimes a feller likes to be treated nice by another feller.
Well, I'm not the one that was approached.
Yeah, you were.
I mean, I didn't approach him.
So you want to be?
I'm not necessarily trying to woo.
You want
to be wooed.
You weren't the approacher. You want him to buy you like a corsage?
No. No prom stuff.
How would you like a man to woo you?
I really don't want a man to woo me. I'm cool with going and hanging out for drinks or whatever, and that's about it.
What if you guys get really drunk and you wake up the next morning with DNA in places?
Then I don't know. I just, oh, geez.
Mm-mm. I bet you get all worked up, wake up the next day, put a black light over him. Looks like one of those 70s posters. Gay again. Keep on f***ing. How old are you now?
Is that 41?
I think it's time to explore, try different things. That's what I do. Instead of going to CVS, I went to Walgreens yesterday.
Well, that's a big difference.
Actually, for Russ, it's not. I mean, that's a really huge step for him. What are you afraid of, Chloe?
You afraid of you will enjoy it?
No, I'm not afraid I'll enjoy it. I'm just afraid that if we do hang out for drinks, that might be what he's really into. Then how do you get out of that?
You say no. No means no. Unless it's two men.
Two men? Where'd the other one come in from?
Your date.
Oh, I thought you meant two people I'd be going out with.
Man, you're
going
to get it. But not even know it.
Dr. Thornton, are there any kind of, like, anything you could do to help strip down these walls?
Yeah, Chloe, really, take a deep breath. You know, visualize this date.
I'm hyperventilating.
Slow it down then. Visualize the date. How do you see it transpiring?
We're just hanging out at Applebee's, enjoying a couple of beers.
Yeah. Go on.
And then, I don't know, just conversation, radio station stuff, music stuff.
Man, I sure enjoy your company. I've had a really good time tonight, Chloe.
Well, that's nice. I'm
you think we can go back to my place and seal the deal?
Seal? So what deal are you thinking about sealing?
The deal down in your pants.
There's no deal in my pants.
Oh, yes, there is. That's a whole Choctaw casino going on down there. There's all kind of things I want to put and shove things in back and forth.
There is no poker. There's no crabs.
Oh, there's both of them.
It's the slot machine's not. It's not open.
Mm-mm. Starting to shuffle a little bit there, Clem.
Why do you see him uncomfortable? Have I not been a gentleman this entire day?
You've been very nice. You've been very nice, but I am not really interested.
I sent you those pro flowers and all those gifts from New Fine Arts.
I
you know you're going to love that hood, because I'm going to fill it up.
That was very nice, but...
I got you with that spooge snorkel. What?
Actually, a very thoughtful gift.
I'm a thoughtful man.
Good Lord, Chloe, what do you want?
I'll let you even use my own personal shrimping straw.
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, jeez.
I can't drink.
Oh, good Jesus.
You know, if you were really secure
yeah.
in your heterosexuality,
yeah.
you'd go out with this guy and not worry about it.
See, that's
you know you're not going to succumb.
Exactly. No, there's
no... Succumb.
There's no...
Yeah.
No straws.
It's like when I danced with Sean at one of our Christmas parties, a guy from sales. I don't have any problem with it.
But that was just like...
He knew I wasn't gay, and I knew he was, but it was no issue.
That was a fun, spontaneous moment that wasn't something that was planned.
How did you guys dance? I forget.
I have no idea. I danced with everybody.
I mean, was it like slow dance? Or it's like...
No, not... You mean like Floyd Kramer, the slow dance, like Last Date?
Yeah, like hip to hip.
I really don't remember.
Okay. I
don't think there was, first of all, if there was any constant contact, there was always the arch of the back, as you do as a proper gentleman.
I understand.
The bumping and grinding comes later. I almost gave in when they played Christopher Cross, and then I backed out of it.
It's a captivating tune.
It is. Even if you're not in love, it can make you feel like you are. Mm-hmm. It's like being at a wedding. Man, everybody's in love. Everybody's happy. I'd like to get in on this.
Everyone's overcome.
Overcome. Mm-hmm. You don't know, this guy could be your soulmate.
I know.
Plus, if you think about it, Russ is right. Chloe, what if this guy actually is your soulmate? And the only problem is the sex part. And all the relationships you've ever had, do you have sex with that woman all the time?
And doesn't it gradually, not totally fade out, but fade out as a relationship goes on, because it becomes more of the companionship and the... help me out here, Bubba.
Just the support and the loving foundation.
You know, all the comes along with love.
No, I'm not really interested in taking anything in any direction.
Okay, but again, what if this guy really is perfect for you? And
there is no what if.
Let's say an average.
This really is a departure as far as our normal storylines. I never would have fathomed.
Yeah, this is terrible. So he's really good for you in every way, with the exception of the sex. That's the part that turns you off. However, average relationships, what, sex three times a week? Let's say it lasts 20 minutes a time. That's 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week that you have to worry about, you know, hooking up with your partner.
But I don't want to go a half a second with any person that...
Okay. Do you have a problem? When in the past, I've said before that I love you.
Had a problem with...
with me saying it. Dr. Thornton, do you have a problem when I tell you that?
Never, no.
And I think I say it every week.
Yeah.
No. It's a manly thing.
No, yeah, it can be.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with... Love is love no matter where it emanates from.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
What 70 song is that from?
I don't know, but we're going to get some yo ass this weekend.
Some agape up in there.
Agape?
Yeah.
You want some agape? What is that?
That's brotherly love.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of leaf from a plant in Mexico.
That's agape.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're going to need that for lube.
No.
You need agape for your agape.
Yeah, there's going to be no gaping.
That too.
Oh, I totally forgot about gaping.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
It's all right, Chloe. Had you not told him I was going there too, so don't worry about it.
No, I really don't have that much of an interest, and I don't think there's anything that you guys can say to sway me toward that way.
I don't make any difference whether you want to go or not. It's going to happen.
What? How do you know it's going to happen?
Okay, now it has to.
Yeah.
No.
Chloe, you should not have
thrown down. I just said, how do you know it's going to happen?
Yeah, we don't know different people to pick you up and haul you off on a date.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Captain Howard's retired from the Dallas Sheriff's Department. No way he'd pick you up, throw you in a trunk, knowing that he's taking you to get butt.
Oh, God. No. I'm leaving town.
I mean, really,
we don't know any state troopers.
Well, we don't know any troopers, and we certainly don't know any federal types that could possibly track you down no matter where you go.
Oh, I forgot. We have feds now.
Yup.
Oh, Jesus.
Look at that. You're going to have to give in. Just think about it as a test of your heterosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chloe.
If it's a perfect date and everything goes well and you're still not attracted to him, then you know you straight.
All right, then.
You going to go?
I just go for drinks and that's it. And I say, I'll just say no. I don't care if it's mean.
What if he woos you?
I don't think he could woo that good.
What if he made you a Van Halen mixtape?
I don't even think that would work.
Not even.
No, come on. You'd be impressed by that.
The fact that he knew enough about you that you love Van Halen.
Mm-hmm. Chloe, how many girlfriends have you ever had that gave you a Van Halen mixtape?
None.
There, thank
you. How many girlfriends you had that actually gave you something that was really, truly heartfelt?
There's been a few.
Out of how many?
But no Van Halen mixtape.
Exactly.
All right. What about if we meet halfway? What if we set you up with a tranny?
No, Jesus, no.
That way you get everything.
Where did this come in? No. You're just putting things in. No.
I'm compromising. You can't even meet me halfway.
You can't throw a woman in there somewhere? Just hey, a regular old woman.
Half a woman?
Yeah.
Damn it. That's too much to bleep there.
I know. It's a hard conversation.
But you get he's an
and oh, my.
And now, yeah. And now I'm going to be
every, oh, my.
And George Takei.
Would you go out with George Takei?
Oh, God, no. Just talking alone.
What, do you like Japanese men?
There's nothing wrong with Japanese men, but if they talk too much, there's something wrong with them.
That's good stories, though.
I remember. And really, he did have interesting stories, and mm-hmm. I hate to go off on a sidetrack, but just what he went through after the attack on Pearl Harbor, where they locked up all Asian Americans.
Yeah, in tournament.
Put them in tournament camps. Who you know had nothing to do with the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Did we just make that leap?
Yes, we did.
Because I've heard him tell the story over and over. It really is fascinating, and most people don't know that we even did that. This country locked up people for no reason.
I know. That's one of the things about this country. We always talk about how great we are and phenomenal, but we're also, in our short period of existence, we have really screwed over a lot of people.
We have done some nasty
And it would be a whole lot more helpful if we could just talk about it openly and admit it and not have to wave flags about it all.
And pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Kind of like Close pretending that he's not going on this date.
Yeah, why can't you throw a chick my way? You know, what's wrong with that?
What do you need a beard for?
I just, like I said yesterday, I'm lazy. I don't feel like shaving my beard.
That's not what I meant.
What?
If
what
you're with you another gay guy, forget it. How about if we set you up on a date with Redbeard? That way you got everything.
No. Oh, jeez.
Guy I used to work on
Q102.
Q102. Texas best.
No, definitely not. Definitely not Red.
Would you go out with Bo Roberts?
If I had to choose between Bo and Redbeard, I'd choose Bo.
I guarantee you, Bo felt that wherever he is.
I think Bo knows how to treat a man.
Mm-hmm.
Jim wouldn't be with him for so long. Mm. I think they share bags.
Oh.
There's a bonding when you have with another person when you have to have a blood drive every year to keep yourself alive. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't even keep track of where we're going.
I am just.
All right, let's get back to butt.
No. This.
You know, protection, safe sex.
Well, even
lube,
if
you're bottom, remember, kind of push just a little.
What do you mean, remember, push just a little?
Well, I think that's supposed to make it easier.
Yeah.
Kind of opens the portal of love. Opens up your easy bake oven.
Oh, jeez, man.
So he can get his Pillsbury Doughboy in there.
No.
Shoot, love it in your oven.
Oh, God. Please run out.
Then you spoon and wake up the next morning. And then the afterglow. You decide to go at it again.
The bed will be filled with puke.
Hey, whatever you decide to use is lube.
Oh, really?
Personally, I like Oleo. I don't think I can stretch this out any longer.
I don't think you need to.
Are you still uncomfortable?
A little bit. Faint. Faint, yeah.
Any advice?
I think Chloe, you better just get this date over with and see who you really are.
Would you like to know who you really are?
I know who I really
am. It's just like in religion. You have to have your faith tested.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to have your sexuality tested.
Well, have you had yours tested?
Sure.
When?
None of your business. I've had men hit on me before.
You know what? And I have.
And I didn't have any problem with guys buying me drinks, trying to get in my pants. It's funny to me knowing that they weren't going to get anything. And if they did, it wasn't going to be satisfying.
Russ can't satisfy a woman.
What makes you think I can satisfy a man?
I don't think I could satisfy either.
You want me to get you some gay porno so you can practice?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, like kind of to familiarize or desensitize. Yeah. However you want to look
at it. I've already seen plenty of that when you put that on my screensaver on my computer.
And you never took it off?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did.
Dan.
Immediately.
You never took that off.
Alfie, it's still on, yes?
Still there. People are starting to talk.
I can't even walk back there.
It just makes people uncomfortable.
Man, those two guys are doing a 69 so hard, it looks like a great big calamari ring.
No. Ugh.
I tell you what. Try it, and if you don't, the weekend is just a complete waste. I'll pay for the dinner and whatever you spend on corsages and magnums and whatever.
No, there's no need to spell out some expense.
Think you can really get excited? And come in his
oh my God!
No.
I can't stop. Squeeze me out. Okay, I'm the only one laughing. It's obviously not funny.
Everyone's puking.
I'm just trying to see if I get some bile up.
Damn close.
If I pay for everything. I need to even tell him up front. I am not homosexual. But I've been talked into this date.
Mm-hmm.
And if something happens, it happens. Let nature take its... Well, it's not even nature.
It's kind of nature, yeah.
It's against nature.
Not really.
Says who? No.
There's a...
Nature is God. Are you saying homosexuals are against God?
No! Not saying that.
Homosexuality is part of nature.
Mm-hmm. There are plenty of species that practice it.
Yeah. Some dolphins are homo.
Mm-hmm.
Flipper was homo.
Yep.
How do you know he was?
Do you hear it, voice?
He's in the theme. Oh, Flipper, Flipper. Queen of the Sea or something like that. All right, we're late. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:37. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Jet Ranger helicopter. AEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagles traffic brought to you by Goya. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound 635. Just before 4, it's got an accident blocking the HOV and the 3 left lanes. Traffic there is completely jacked up. All the way back from the tollway, it's at least a 45-minute delay through it. I don't know. Try and find another way. And in Plano, southbound of the tollway, right at Park, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up. Back from 121. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Backstrom on Fox. Tonight, rain and 41 for the low. Tomorrow, rain and 42 for the high. Right now, 60. A 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
What do you got on hold, Alfie?
Those are women trying to convince Chloe to go.
Yes, Naomi.
Hey, I'm calling about Chloe's date.
Yes.
So I have some advice, because if a girl goes on a date with a guy, he says, you know, he buys her dinner and drinks. So if it's, and the girl owes him, you know, he spent his hard-earned money on you. So Chloe, I think the same rule applies.
Yeah, if he buys you a lot of stuff, you got to go home and swallow.
Right.
No, we write.
Even though she would never tell that to one of her female friends, but only because she wants Chloe to go out and get this weekend.
That's exactly what it is. As long as she listens to me, that's good. It's all good. Just for my entertainment.
Yeah. See, the listeners want you to go.
That's right. You can't let them down.
Of course, I can let them down. Who says I got to do this stuff?
The listeners.
Really?
You want to piss them off?
The listener. The word. Listener, somebody that's chosen to put up with us on a daily basis. Listener, the most beautiful word in the English language.
God, you made it. I think it's the first time you've ever made it.
Listeners, once you go out and get butt, you go out, you get butt.
No, I do not want to do this.
You go out on the date, I will put, but you got to really go. You got to stay, not spend the night with him, but it's got to be an entire evening.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put $10,000 into the foundation.
Wow.
Something that I work on every single day that I don't have to put money into. Dan, you?
I'll do it.
How much?
$10,000. I'll do it.
I'm in.
No, I mean, forget Chloe. I'll go on the date to make sure the foundation gets $10,000.
That's how much I care about the foundation, unlike this little one.
Hey, I didn't say one way or the other yet.
You ain't nothing but a foundation leech. You like everything the foundation, all the perks that we get from police officers and fire. We don't really get much from firefighters, but from cops. But you don't want to do anything for the foundation. You go out and get butt for police officers.
If our fun was...
Back to blue balls.
No.
I bet Alfie would give money. Actually, Alfie would steal it, but it's still something I could use.
Yeah, that's true.
If it came down to it...
Came down to what?
The foundation needing money.
Foundation needs money.
We always need money. We have to be funded year-round. We have to work nonstop.
I know.
We never know when a police officer or firefighter will fall in the line of duty.
Yes,
and you can't go out and have anal sex.
It's not even required that, but yeah, go with it. Go out
to support these. You know what? If these heroes mean nothing to you, that's fine. I bet Ben Garrison would donate money as well if you go out on this homo day.
Oh, jeez.
Man, that.
Ben, get him drunk, he'll give you money for anything.
Yes.
There's got to be another way.
There's not. I've thought about it. Yes, Kate.
Hello?
Yes?
What's going on?
Talk.
Well, y'all update me because it's been about an hour since I called. What are we talking about?
About Chloe going on a butt date.
A butt date?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, the thing is for...
Yeah, okay. And she was not on hold for an hour.
No.
You got chicks called already, willing to help. Go ahead, Michelle.
I got $100 for the foundation of Clogos.
How much?
$100.
That's very kind of you. Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
God bless you.
Oh, thank you.
Woman doesn't know you, doesn't know this guy that you can go on a date with, willing to give up money. I'm sure $100 doesn't come by her every day.
Mm-mm.
$10,000 doesn't come... Never mind. It's still a lot to me.
Yeah.
And also, you're just assuming that he's into that.
He is into that. He told you he was gay. Why else would he tell you that?
I don't know. What if he's into the pitching part, not the catching part?
That's why you need to decide now.
Yeah. If you're going to be into the catching part, we got to get you a prom dress.
Right.
Okay.
And don't wear pantyhose. It's going to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much cleavage, though.
Really? So where do we stand?
It's up to you. You either hate police and fire or you don't.
Don't.
That's what it all boils down to.
It doesn't boil down to that.
Brass tacks.
Hmm?
Down to brass tacks.
I don't hate police and fire. I don't.
Well, so
I'll
far...
I'll go hang out with drinks and stuff, but...
Dan's promised 10.
So you're willing...
And Dan makes nowhere near what I do, so... $10,000 to him is...
Oh, no, actually, I was saying I would go in closed place if you gave $10,000.
Oh, dude, go the other way.
I will do $20,000.
I'm not giving you $10,000 to go out on a date with a guy, because I know you'll shut him out. I got an 18 pair of pants, all tough skins. Get through that.
And I got this can of homo repellent.
And I worked on my Kegels over the weekend. Ain't no way you're getting in there. You got a better chance of f***ing Fort Knox.
Well, for police and fire, I'd go out just like you said earlier, go on the date and not go home. Yeah, of course. Like, what the hell?
I mean, you go home at the end of the night, but you can't just go, oh, I went out for 10 minutes. Now give me the $10,000. I put $10,000 in the foundation. You got to at least play with his balls. Both of them. Bareback. Raw.
Okay, define play.
Grab him like this and go, oh, no, 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 no.
All right, that's pretty specific.
I would go that far for the foundation.
8.5 minutes.
What? 8.5 minutes.
Fair?
Fair, fair. I mean, come on.
I'm being as magnanimous as I can. I even offered you a tranny. Meet you halfway.
All right.
Have we burnt this out?
8.5 minutes.
Hang on. He's on the verge.
He's not going to go.
We'll make him go.
No.
Actually, hang on 1 second. Why are you just assuming, other than the fact that he asked you out, you're assuming that you would be able to win him over to the point that he'd want to have sex with you at the end of the night. You're just taking that as you're assuming it.
You're an egotistical a-hole.
Exactly.
No, I asked a while ago, how do you know that he is or is not into it? And you.
Why else would he tell you he was gay when he asked you to go out for drinks?
So you just answered the question for Dan.
No. He asked, the guy asked you out. But just because he asked you out, he's trying to discover.
Haven't you got? Let me clean it up.
Yeah.
Haven't you gone out on dates before with a chick where you don't really know if you're going to have sex with them or not?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, same thing with this guy.
Yeah. He's feeling you out. And you're assuming you're so wonderful that he's just going to just
I'm
have
not
to.
Assuming
I'm Klo. I'm on the radio. I'm a celebrity. Who wouldn't want in my hole?
Mm-hmm. What makes you think that I think that?
I don't know. I'm getting bored with this, though. Because I've been pounding on you for an hour and a half and you haven't puked yet.
Oh.
I got to tell you, it's mighty disappointing.
He has farted twice.
I don't know the shrimp line, dude. Damn.
What?
The part where you said he could borrow your shrimp and straw.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
You want to use my shrimp and straw?
No, I don't want to use
my personal favorite.
Mm-mm.
I let two other people use it. Terry Dorsey and Wes Wise.
Who's Wes Wise?
That's all right. People around 50 got the joke.
Oh.
Alfie, do I want to take any of these?
Line 6 and maybe line 1, but it's a little outlandish.
Yes, Kyle?
Hey, I'm a disabled vet, and I'll throw in $100 to the foundation out of my VA check if he goes.
Damn. You hate vets too, Chloe?
No, I don't hate vets.
The man
really
has served our country, and now is disabled.
No, I don't hate vets.
The man that fought for the rights that you enjoy today.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
What war did you serve in, Kyle?
Served in the Iraqi Freedom.
Oh, what happened?
Started in 2003 for Marine Corps.
How were you disabled?
Lower back. Threw out my back building bombs.
The man that went and defended freedom. $100. And we don't take care of our vets.
I know that we don't.
Thank you, Kyle, for your service. What's the other thing?
Sacrifice. Thank you, sir.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yes.
Yeah. Because people say
donation.
Service to me, that's like thanking a waiter.
Yeah.
You go and you serve our country, whether you died or not, whether you were injured or not, you still sacrificed.
All right, 8.5 minutes, as long as I go.
Until he
No! Oh!
Whichever happens.
Oh.
Yeah. Whichever comes first.
Oh, no. Hey, really?
All right. This thing is burnt. Go ahead, Dan.
Celebrities can make a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they can manage it. Some celebrities have gone from rich to broke, some quite famously. I don't know if you remember, but Kim Basinger, she filed for bankruptcy in 1993 with a net worth of $5.4 million, but that's because a movie studio sued her for $8.1 million for backing out of the film Boxing Helena.
I'm going to guess she lost.
She settled for $3.8 million, but she's currently worth $36 million. But she was also hurting at the time because back in 1989, she bought an entire town in Georgia for $20 million. Do you remember that?
I don't. I didn't know she went through financial problems in early 90s. No, I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, she bought an entire Georgia town for $20 million. Her idea was to turn it into a tourist attraction with movie studios and film festivals, and it all just went bust.
Not exactly, but kind of like what Dolly Parton did. I think she bought...
Dollywood.
Yeah, either an area in Branson or someplace like that and bought enough area to where she wanted to open up a theme park. I don't know if she ever did it.
I think she did.
So I'm guessing Kim Basinger, Basinger, whatever.
Yeah.
That was her mindset.
It wasn't so much a theme park as just Americana. I think she just
What are we talking about? Dolly Parton?
No, Kim Basinger. She just wanted people to come enjoy the town. It wasn't like an entertainment mecca.
Then you really need to have something there to make it appealing.
Yeah. And I mean,
just because you own it doesn't mean people are going to go.
Exactly.
Kim Basinger owns a town in Tennessee.
Georgia.
We must go see it. Have our picture taken with I don't know enough about her to form a joke.
Meatloaf, he's another one. He's back on top with a net worth of $36 million. But after his huge success in the 70s,
He had to file for bankruptcy in the 80s after he was sued by his songwriter, Jim Steinman.
I thought, okay, Bat Out of Hell was from the 70s. Bat Out of Hell 2 came out, I think, in the early 90s. I think that was a decent album. There was a Bat Out of Hell 2.
Yeah, it was Back into Hell or something like that.
So how did he lose it? He got sued?
He got sued by his songwriter, Jim Steinman. But that was in the 80s. So then when, what album, was that the album you're talking about, Back in Hell, whatever it was? Is that the one that had I Do Anything for You, the crazy love song?
I believe so. It's like 8 minutes long?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was, I call it Bat Out of Hell, too. It had a different name, but that's pretty much what it was.
Right. Also, Willie Nelson. Most of us are kind of remember this one. His financial collapse was pretty legendary. In the early 80s, the IRS decided that a tax shelter he had invested in was illegal and hit him with a tax bill of $16.7 million, one of the highest in history. His lawyer bargained it to $6 million, but didn't fully pay it off until 93. Now, he's got $25 million in the bank.
I wonder how it was that Willie Nelson was able to negotiate with the IRS, but Wesley Snipes gave them money, tried to negotiate, and still went to prison.
Because Wesley tried the trial route. Like, Willie and his lawyers said, okay, our bad, we didn't realize, or whatever, and they negotiated. Whereas Wesley Snipes tried saying, no, I don't owe you that money. I made that money overseas. I shouldn't have to give it to you. And then fought it.
Technically, I'm kind of with him. I mean, especially if you have a home overseas.
And I'm not sure if he did or not, but that was the
difference. You have corporations that can buy property in another country and not have to pay U.S. taxes.
And I guess that's a difference between corporate and individual.
Maybe Wesley Snipes was just so cocky. Ain't going to be no jury convict me. I'm the sniper. What was one of his big movies?
Blade.
Yeah, I'm Blade. With a cool haircut.
Sunglasses.
They ain't going to lock me up. How long they lock you up, Slick?
But Willie went to work. I mean, you know, he cooperated and really started earning money.
It would have been, not that the government really cares, but it would have been really bad PR for the government to lock up Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Somebody that works for the working man.
That's right.
Farmers.
And then one of the most famous ones was MC Hammer. He's pretty much synonymous with financial calamity.
He lost his mind, started buying stuff for everybody.
Yeah, not just that, but he hired everybody. After he released the 1990 album, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, he went on a run that earned him $33 million. But then he went on a spending spree that included employing 200 people in his own community. In 96, he filed for bankruptcy, claiming $1 million in assets and $10 million in debts. But he hasn't really bounced back to the extent that other celebrities have. As of 2013, he still reportedly owed the IRS $800,000.
Wonder why he's still running around. The IRS really isn't forgiving if you owe them money.
No, but if you're showing some type of effort, if you're trying to pay it off, then I guess that helps. And this is one of my favorites. Nicolas Cage. He made more than $150 million between 1996 and 2011, but he spent like crazy on things like a dinosaur skull, a private island in the Bahamas, a pyramid-shaped tomb in New Orleans, a castle in Germany, and a whole host of other random, obnoxious, crazy stuff.
I also bought on Painted Arizona. You have to know the movie or you don't get it.
In 2009, the IRS said he owed more than $6.5 million in back taxes. He sued
his... How much?
$6.5 million in back taxes. Okay. He sued his business manager, claiming he was the one who screwed up the tax situation and also caused him catastrophic losses through bad investments.
That in itself, I don't know about the situation. That could have been a cover-up just to buy some time of, hey, people stole from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the process of correcting this. Can I buy some time?
And that's very possible. It's not clear how much Cage has bounced back, but... He's taken almost every role that seems to come his way, including a movie called Left Behind, and apparently that was one of the worst movies over the past year. I think it was a Rapture movie where he's on a plane or something.
I don't know anything about his background. You know, yeah. If you came from humble beginnings.
He's from the Coppola family.
Then he's probably has no... I don't want to say touch with reality, but I know what it's like to wear tough skins and wear shoes that don't fit, that they're like two sizes too big. And kids would make fun of you. That's where I worked on my opening act. Are you going to heckle me on the bus? You give me a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We're in tough skins. Hey, it's Sears, still a name brand.
Yeah, there was no justifying that at all.
Yeah, but didn't most kids your age wear tough skins?
No.
Oh, really? I thought that there was sort of like the standard
Levi's.
Jeans. Oh.
Yeah, there was select few, and you'd fit in that group. Like, oh, you're the tough skins group. Ooh, you can't play with us during playtime.
You probably live in a trailer park. Yeah. Tough skins, boy.
Well, their parents also probably wouldn't let you play with their kids because you're wearing tough skins. It's too dangerous.
No, I'm the safest place to be. I'm wearing tough skins. Where you want your kids to be in case of a nuclear blast?
That's right.
talking about pants you could wear and get hit by a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. Still survive it, and maybe you have to go to Meineke to weld them up.
Like that guy today that had the forklift fall on him, had he been wearing tough skins, just would have walked away.
Get his own protective shield.
Get you some new rivets in there and you're fine.
Do you even know what we're talking about?
Tough skins, yeah.
Did you ever have them, Dr. Thornton?
I didn't have that brand, no. I said off.
Were you part of the Levi crowd?
I managed to get some Levi's when I was older, but we was po, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, so I wore just hand-me-downs and stuff when I was young.
The problem with tough skins is they don't fade, they didn't wear out, they were just some kind of sheet metal from the future. There you go, I'm going to take these out, I'm going to wear them out, so we get me some good jeans.
What, slide on your knees on the concrete?
Stand out, wait for that Riviera to hit me.
I didn't have like the tough skins versus the Levi's crowd, but like 6th, 7th grade, it was whether or not you could afford the Z Cavaricci's or the Jerbeau jeans. Because I couldn't afford the Z Cavaricci's, but I could afford the pants that were the same style, but everyone knew they weren't the Z Cavaricci's because it didn't have the white label on the front flap.
Yeah.
I got the knockoff Cavaricci's.
And because my parents were always tight with me, that just kind of carried over with me and my finances, where I've always felt like, regardless of what I buy, I feel like I need to explain it to somebody or justify it,
mm-hmm.
even though I've got the cash. I always feel like, all right, I'm going to buy this. Who do I feel like I need to get permission from? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm totally with you, yeah. The same problem.
I don't have to, I'm not married to anybody. I don't have to explain it to my mom why I'm buying something, but anytime I buy anything really expensive, I always somehow have to justify it. And I think that's why I'm not worried about finances.
And that makes sense because you've stayed grounded no matter how much you're making. You still are
I don't want my career to go belly up. I lose all my money, and then I'm jumping out in parachute pants doing Taco Bell commercials.
Is it the reason you get drunk sometimes and buy big stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sober, you wouldn't.
It's like the Challenger I've got now. I had for 5 years. Most people don't keep cars for 5 years.
No. And honestly, most people in your income bracket also don't drive Challengers.
Anything over, I know this sounds a little elitist. Anything over $50,000 for a car, I can't really justify it. Short of the Batmobile.
That's a special, different type of thing. Yeah, that's not a product vehicle. Or
Batmobile
not product
and
line.
The Monsters Coach, those are the only ones that are well over 50. Starsky and Hutch generally well under 50.
Yeah.
But it must feel, liberating when you do break through and just buy something.
No, it feels liberating when you're doing contract renegotiations. Okay, here's what we'll offer you. I don't want it. Here's what I want. Well, we don't have it. I guess you ain't got no show.
Yeah, that's got to feel good.
That's where it's, that way you never get in a position where you do something that goes against your ethics.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we want you to do this spot for erectile dysfunction. Ain't nothing wrong with my Don't you need the money? I don't have to say something's wrong with my
That was a tough day for me when they first offered me that spot. Years ago at CBS, part-time. Needed the money.
Man, that's an albatross you don't want to take.
And that's why I said, you know what?
That's good money.
I can't do it. It's good money. I can't do it. And part of the reason I knew I couldn't do it is because I was on the Russ Martin Show.
Hey, Dan, how's that working today? Could you get it up? Could you get it up long enough to keep the in for at least a minute?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, swear to God, if someone was to ask me what one of my proudest moments in my broadcasting career is, that's one of them. When I turned down an endorsement because the money wasn't going to be worth everything that would have come for the rest of my time with Russ.
Well, not just me. Think of women you would meet if they knew who you were. And, oh, you're the guy with the limp and the premature ejaculator.
No, see, baby.
Like, how does that work?
No, baby, see, what happened was.
You so fast, you don't even get hard?
See, no, that's not how it works. See,
you shoot down?
No. Slow down. Let me explain it to you.
I ain't got no time for this.
No, really. I
need a man take care of me. I don't need no premature ejaculator.
No, there's a perfectly good explanation for all this. Just come back.
How you even going to get it in if it's limp? You and your limp biscuit.
Sometimes you say things that you don't really mean, and people, I don't have that problem.
Or you just say, hey, it's a show. It's all entertainment. I'm not really a premature ejaculator or a limp.
Yeah, but see, that's what you could say for the show, just the content of the show, you know, in between commercials. But then to follow that up with a commercial that says, do you have ED like me? Can you not get it up? See, then that becomes problematic.
When you try to have sex, you mashing your all around it, it won't go in? Kind of like with Play-Doh. Late again?
Yes.
What's wrong with this show? All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
609. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is an Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by, brought to you by Backstrom on Fox. Traffic sucks pretty much everywhere right now. Only a few real accidents. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound 635 just before Forest got an accident blocking the HOV and the three left lanes. Traffic there is backed up back to I-35. You can try and take Forest, but I can guarantee it's going to be backed up. If you're dumb enough to sit through, it's an hour and a half delay. In Plano, southbound on the tollway right at Park got an accident.
You got to be the only traffic reporter I know that chastises people.
You know what? People are dumb, and I hate this. The onlookers. Why the hell are you staring at it?
It's a wreck. You don't get to see a wreck every day.
Move on. I'm
sitting in traffic. I might as well have something to look at. You're also the only traffic reporter I know that doesn't give alternate routes. Hey, I-35 at 635 is backed up. Find another way.
It ain't my job.
Best of luck.
Yeah. Sucks to be you. In Plano, southbound of the tollway by the park, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is backed up back to 121. And finally, in Plano, northbound 75, just after Parker got an accident blocking the HOV and the two left lanes, traffic there is jacked up back from Campbell Road. Listen to Chris Ryan all this week at 12:25 in the afternoon for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see the Congos at Gas Monkey Live on January 29th, plus a $50 gift card to eat at Gas Monkey before the show. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery tonight. Rain, overnight low 41. Tomorrow, rain, high of 42. Right now, 60 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
That was a great face from you, Dan. It's like, I ain't doing weather.
You want me to do what?
Isn't snow in the forecast for Friday?
That's possible. I hadn't looked that far ahead.
All right. You're only the news director. Why would you know?
You're right. News director. I didn't hear anything about being a meteorologist.
You're the one that's anal about weather, guys.
Yeah.
I'm anal when they don't know what's going on, and they say they do. No, I know what's going to happen. No, you don't.
And then when they get it wrong, they blame it on the McFarland effect.
Mm-hmm. That's a bunch of bulls.
What's Spanky got to do with this? I think I heard that on KRLD today, that there was rain in the forecast for late Thursday, early Friday. Did I say rain? Snow.
Yes.
You don't see anything?
Now, according to Delkus's forecast, he's basically, he's got tomorrow.
I don't know. I don't have a clue. Harold Taft is dead.
He's got 100% rain, wind. Then Friday, 20%, I guess, precipitation. AM clouds, afternoon sun. High of 50. And then sunny the rest of the weekend.
Okay. Maybe I heard it wrong. Not important.
Okay.
Finish news. 613, Dan O'Malley's here with more news.
Thank you, Russ. A radio station in Plainwell, Michigan has lost its music library in a ransomware attack that happened to WAKV back on January 9th. Jim Higgs, owner...
I never thought about that. Even our library, even though we've got firewall after firewall, and you know Clear Channel is, I was going to say, almost impenetrable, but...
Let's not throw out that gauntlet.
I don't know. They're pretty anal. Okay, but regardless, I think our music library, if somebody really wanted to hack, they could access it through the internet. And then, you know, then you lose six AC/DC songs. How do you rebound from that? Sorry, Don.
How do we rebuild?
Where are we going to get those?
Jeez, man.
We didn't keep copies from the 8-tracks.
Jim Higgs, owner...
No more Thunderstruck.
Jim Higgs, owner of the station, WAKV, has been a radio host for more than 50 years. For decades, he's operated WAKV out of his basement. But 2 weeks ago, he noticed something he had not heard before. Silence. He said the radio wasn't playing anything. Well, that right off the bat is a hint there's something wrong. Then I looked at this computer, and there were two icons on the desk. Basically, it was... We have your files. If you want them unlocked, go to this website and pay us $500.
That's what you get for looking at porn on your radio station website.
Yeah. Higgs deleted the message, but the damage was already done. He said all the commercials, all the PSAs, and our archives, everything that we've done since 1995 is all gone.
That's why if I look at porn, first of all, porn sites seem to be some of the safer websites because they want your return business.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that I look at that could be untoward is on a laptop. I couldn't give a less if I lose it. Fine, go ahead and infect it. I'll clear it out, reinstall Windows, and go back at it. You come to the wrong window, Jack.
Yeah, the attack encrypted all the data. Luckily, the music was backed up on a different computer. As for everything else, though, Higgs has and will be spending several days redoing hours and hours of work. Since
obviously, this is what do you call it? A turnkey operation.
Yes.
Just something really small, not that big of a deal. I still don't get why somebody owns a really small radio station, regardless of what you paid for it. Plug in an iPod to the transmitter, throw commercials in there, and just have it shuffle it. Because, you know, he can't afford talent. He's got no live jocks short of him.
Yeah, it's probably just him.
I even said that when Jack FM started. They gave them the first digital board at CBS. We were the one making all the money for CBS. And we had a board where half the crap didn't work and the other crap didn't work because I tried to fix it.
Yeah. And
they put all the new stuff in Jack FM where nobody's in the studio.
Yeah.
And you could really, without exaggeration, run it off an iPod shuffle.
And when they changed the format on us and we all went away... The fan started in the Jack FM studios because those are the brand new boards, the brand new studios and everything. So most everyone, after a short amount of time, they were doing everything out of there.
What about the auxiliary studio at CBS? We had our studio.
We had your old studio. Our old studio was being used.
That was only for us.
That was only for us.
And then they used it for what?
They used it for, was it Rough Riders baseball games, Alfie?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we carried the Frisco Rough Riders baseball games on the HD2.
Well, why is it that rubs me wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, it's my studio. Even if I don't work there anymore, it's my studio. It's like a chick wearing lingerie that you bought for her, but she's f***ing her new boyfriend in it. Just something that's I don't know. Is there any justification behind that, Dr. Thornton?
Well, you have such cathexis to a place you work in so successfully and so long, of course, you know. I'm getting ready to lose my office, and it's you know, in ways it's a good thing.
You have to let it go back?
Yeah. Couldn't keep up the payments. No.
You know you can get money on your checks right now. What are those places called?
Oh, yeah, the
payday advance places.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my money.
Well, maybe there's hope. But no, I'm letting go of this office for my own reasons as well. But there is I've been in that place for 20 years.
We're talking about at Medical City?
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice office.
Thanks. Yeah.
But you don't go there that often anymore.
Right. I have maybe 3 people I still see regularly.
Bring them up here.
Yeah. Yeah. Russ in his studio, in his office, he's got a couch in there. They can lay down.
Yeah. Did you hear that laugh? Dr. Thornett. I mean, if you only have 3 people you see on a regular basis and the rest is at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
bring them up here.
Well, what a deal.
I won't say anything.
Okay.
I'll just sit in the corner. If you need help, I can go ahead and you can tag me in.
Bonus.
Oh, nice.
Okay, you two are having an argument over, is it finances? Russ, you want to help me on this one? Sure. Tag me in.
And tag back
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that'll work.
I really don't know how you play the middle, because I'm sure in the beginning of you got couples counseling, you can probably immediately tell, okay, this part is him, this part is her, mm-hmm. but I can't side with either one of them, because then you alienate the other person in any type of help that they might get from your counseling.
That is the rub, especially if one or both parties tend to be kind of fragile or narcissistic. You have to be so delicate to make sure that everybody gets heard.
You have to make sure that everybody has this, when they walk away, they feel good. They feel like they've got their opinion out there and somehow they've been validated.
Mm-hmm.
My feelings matter. No. No. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And how you keep from saying that, I don't know.
Fortunately for me, there is a middle ground. I mean, both people bring some bad stuff to the table. So both people need some straightening out.
I guess if they at least made it to counseling, there's an opening someplace to wedge in some logic.
Yeah.
You spend too much. Well, he doesn't do anything. He just goes to work and he comes home and he sits on his fat ass. Well, you don't do anything all day but just pop out babies and eat Funyuns.
Were you in my office today?
I mean, it's... You know, they go in and it's like, well, it's his fault. Well, it's her fault. Well, no, it's everybody's fault. Most people don't go home and argue by themselves.
Yeah.
It's when you bring another person into the equation.
I know I've probably repeated this, but it isn't really about who's right and who's wrong, but it's about how do you communicate about the stuff that you disagree over. That really usually solves the problem if you can fix that part.
And that's what people like to dodge. Well, I don't want to tell you. You should know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever straighten women out with that? Because it's mostly a female thing.
I have frequently said, no, don't assume anybody's reading your mind.
And do they normally get that?
It takes 300 or 400 times, but you know.
Well, that's pretty good, $150
yeah.
for 45
yeah,
minutes.
Man.
Mm-hmm. That's how he's driving a Lexus.
Go ahead.
All right. Today.
What was the story?
Oh, the story was, hell, I even forgot. Oh, it was the old dude in his basement radio station lost it all because of a ransomware attack.
How do we get off on the relationships?
You were pissed that somebody else was using your studio.
Oh, yeah. Them. I paid to renovate that studio. They got hacks in there touching my board.
Yes. Standing on your carpet. Occasionally talking into your microphone.
You can go under that console and cut that cable, but nobody else can, by God.
It's my studio.
That's right.
Go ahead, Dan.
All right, then. Today, cancers are becoming either preventable or effectively curable. This according to a researcher. And that means that by 2050, hardly anyone under 80 will die of such diseases. That's according to a new study.
I knew it.
You knew what?
They would find some type of... Maybe not a cure for cancer, but a treatment to extend your life to where...
You just sort of live with it.
Yeah. I knew they would find a cure for that and set a date well beyond what I'm going to live. I'm not going to live 2050.
Let's see. How long is it? 30?
35 years?
Yeah. I'm 54.
You could make it.
Come on, buddy.
89.
Almost there. Got a cure for it. Man, I'm tired of looking at porn.
Yeah, 89 is one of those ages you really don't think about. Man, I sure hope I make it to that.
Tired of looking at GG MILFs.
GG MILFs?
Great grandmothers. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad if that's your perspective and you're thinking, yeah, look at that hot young one there. Man, she's only 74.
Man, that's a great grandmother I'd like to.
Too bad she's on dog fart.
Damn. Getting split open like a rotisserie chicken.
Yep. Well, research.
Look, her legs just came out of her meat.
Well, the good news is she can hit her life alert button. According to the researcher, David Taylor, he says this is a projection of what is already happening. Lifestyle changes, protective technologies, and improved therapies will pave the way. That's according to the study. Things could move even faster if people follow advice to take aspirin daily.
I do that.
Though some have questioned that advice, given aspirin's link to ulcers and stomach bleeding. But
well, but they have the low dosage aspirin. It's right. About the size of a... It's even smaller than a baby aspirin.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that tiny.
It's called low dosage, whatever. It's meant to take every day, and it keeps thins your blood. Helps with blood pressure.
Another researcher who led the study is standing firm in his comments by saying, taking aspirin daily looks to be the most important single thing we can do to reduce cancer after stopping smoking and reducing obesity, and will probably be much easier to implement.
And, there was a study I saw someplace, if you took the low dosage aspirin, even Dr. Fetner was okay on this, and most of the things I asked him about, he's going, well, that's probably going to give you prostate cancer. Well, what's the biggest thing that could cause prostate cancer? Living long enough to get it.
Yeah.
But even he was big on the low dosage aspirin.
That's great.
I think they said could add possibly 8-9 years.
I hadn't heard that, but I did in this story. It says, according to one of the researchers, is if everyone aged between 50 and 65 took aspirin daily for 10 years, there would be a 9% reduction in the number of cancers, strokes, and heart attacks in men, 7% in women.
And it's a simple thing. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, you just got to remember to take it.
I'm not getting a pill box. Get the off me.
I didn't say anything about a pill box.
That comes up every time. Mm-hmm. I get up in the morning and go, okay, got to take my BP meds. For whatever reason, I got three of those. One's a BP med, another one is some type of diuretic, and another one's potassium. And then I take the multivitamins, take a few different of those. An estrogen blocker because I'm on testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to get man.
No, you don't. It'd just be really sad.
It would, although I'd be close to being a tranny and then Chloe would want me.
Ooh.
No.
Chloe, silver lining.
Yeah. Would you want to me if I got a boob job?
Not really. That doesn't really sound appealing, especially with the hair.
What if I got the really, what hair?
You've got hair in your chest, don't you?
I'll shave it. I'll shave it for you. I get them great big rocket like Madonna had. Oh,
still.
You like rocket?
Still not enticed. Man or woman, rocket boobies.
Okay.
Mm-mm, no. No, quit looking at me. No rocket boobies.
There's some sexy eyebrows you got working.
No.
Ooh, one eye.
It's like you're doing the wave with your eyebrows.
Let's
no.
Prude. Go.
Two new services just launched called Invisible Boyfriend and Invisible Girlfriend, and they both create the most authentic-looking fake relationship possible. They cost $25 a month, and that includes 100 texts from your fake boyfriend or girlfriend, including responses when you text them, plus 10 voicemails, one handwritten note, and even some photos.
And this purpose serves what?
The founders say the texts and calls won't come from a robot. They figured out a secret sauce, they say, that seems to combine auto responses and real responses from humans to make everything seem as real as possible. So why do this? They proposed a few scenarios. Tricking your Bible Belt parents or grandparents so they don't know you're gay.
See, Chloe?
What?
practicing for how you would handle a real relationship, or fending off a coworker who's hitting on you.
I think with most coworkers, you could just say, I have a boyfriend, I have a girlfriend.
That should be it, especially...
Or with Chloe, I have a he, she.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll back off most people. Sorry, I'm in a committed relationship with a tranny.
A tranny or a post-op? Are they a tranny that they're going to go all the way?
What is it? No, neither. Neither one.
Man, you got no compassion for anybody.
I've got compassion for people. Just not.
First of all, you got somebody that's attracted to you, one of the guys in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care about his feelings. And now we've talked about it on the air because you decided to go public with it.
Well, I didn't decide to go to public. You're the one that brought it up.
And now it's...
Or did Alfie tell you?
I forgot how I found out. I know it wasn't you. You're a prude.
I told Dan. I think Dan brought it up.
Yeah, that was it.
Thanks, guys.
What do you mean? Either way, close inconsiderate.
How am I inconsiderate?
Because a man has feelings. Male, female, people hurt. You reject them, you have to do it in a proper fashion. They go suck that man's
No, I'm not sucking.
That's how you say you're sorry.
Yeah.
No.
You're sucking good.
He'll get over it. He'll get over it.
I thought I knew you, Chloe.
That's the way that you deal with relationships? Oh, they'll get over it. I'll just jack them around.
Yes. Sometimes. No.
Do it.
Yeah.
Break?
Yes.
Of course.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
This is Michael Dorn, Commander Worf from Star Trek The Next Generation. The Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation supports the families of Dallas-Fort Worth police officers and firefighters who have courageously fallen in the line of duty. Please donate today. Go to RussMartin.com for more information. Thank you.
6:37, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ Eagle. Traffic brought to you by State Farm. Traffic sucks everywhere, mostly because it's raining, but there's only a few actual accidents. Let's start off in Dallas, westbound 635, right at Josie. Got an accident there. It's blocking the left lane. Traffic there is jacked up back at Webb Chapel. In Richardson, southbound 75, just before Beltline, got an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic there is backed up back to the bush. In Plano, northbound 75, just after Parker, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is jacked up all the way back from Arapahoe. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just before Golden Triangle, got an accident in the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from Westport Parkway. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Walgreens. Tonight, rain, 41. Tomorrow, rain and a high of 42. Wintry mix is possible tomorrow night, but I think Larry Bowery on CBS 11 just grandstanded. Right now, 56 degrees at 97.1 The Eagle.
Shoot that dirty cowboy all over my face!
K-E-G-L, The Eagle. The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
All right, Daniel.
An estranged Florida couple's fight over whether to circumcise their son has become a rallying cry for those who denounce the procedure as barbaric. The dispute between Heather Hieronymus.
Dr. Thornton, do you know any benefits? Do you know anything about this as far as circumcision?
I've always heard that there are hygiene benefits from that.
Yeah. Where you have things getting up under your trunk?
Yeah, getting all infections and things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've always been curious if women find that attractive or not. Cut, uncut.
I think it really just depends on the woman's experience. Usually whenever the topic has come up, usually I hear from a female's, ew.
With the extra skin.
Yeah. But then again, that was also, that was probably 10 years ago. Since then, that same female may have seen a few and been like, okay, not so bad.
I don't know. I don't really care. I'm cut. You cut?
I'm cut.
Chloe, you cut?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Thornton?
Nope.
You uncut?
I'm uncut.
You got elephant trunk?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Alfie?
I'm good.
That's good.
He said nothing.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm Switzerland on this one. Why don't you get down on there and suck it? I'm uncut. It may be some sausages or something underneath that skin. Maybe some treats. Some Halloween candy.
Some candy corn.
Man, you think it's fun finding stuff underneath the couch cushions.
This is like your own penis pinata.
The dispute between Heather Hieronymus, the mother, opposing the circumcision, and Dennis Nebus, the father, favoring it, has sparked a prolonged court battle, protests, and the attention of a movement of self-proclaimed inactivists. Judges have ruled in favor of the father, meaning the surgery is likely to happen, but the possible closure of the legal chapter has done little to mute the case's most passionate followers. Many choose to remove their son's foreskins at the suggestion of a doctor for religious or cultural reasons or out of habit. Opponents have been bolstered by the overall waning popularity of circumcision and the fact that this fight has gone on so long, the boy at the center of it is now 4 years old. So that kind of adds to the complication.
I think the whole idea was doing it at birth is to estrange them from the trauma.
I don't know if that's why that custom began or not. Some cultures do it at puberty. I mean, primitive cultures. Sort of rite of passage.
Okay. I just always thought they, if you're going to do it, you do it at birth, so the kid has no recollection.
If I had
because it can't, regardless of what type of anesthesia that you use, it can't be pleasant.
Cannot, no. And if I had to be cut, I'd really rather it be before I knew him any different.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
How much extra skin you got?
I'd really rather take the Alfie.
I'm good?
I'm good clause on that one, yep.
Can you get up in the morning, TT, and it don't go everywhere?
I've developed plenty of techniques to avoid that.
Pull her own back?
Pull her own back, yeah.
Turtleneck sweater?
Yeah. You got to take the turtle out the shell.
Sometimes a turtle pees in its shell and goes everywhere.
Yeah, that's an early lesson.
Thomas Fredrickson, he's one of the protesters. He says, I couldn't speak when I was cut, but I can speak now. That's what he said, wearing a red beret and a I Heart My Foreskin t-shirt.
I bet Clear Channel sues him.
Volumes of court filings tell the story. The mother and the father had a six-month relationship that resulted in pregnancy, the birth of the boy named Chase, and a fight over nearly everything since. In the documents, the circumcision of the child was agreed to by both parents. But when it came time to schedule it, the mother resisted, having researched it further. The matter wound its way through circuit court, which ruled in the father's favor, then to the 4th District Court of Appeal, which refused to overturn the lower court's ruling.
I'm surprised that if there's no hard evidence on whether it's good or bad, that the courts would make any decision. All right, I want to get this done. Well, there's no real reason to do it, so we can't really say, all right, you get to choose instead of her.
And I think that's part of the problem that the court has run into. And the reason why the court has sided with the father is because the mother initially signed off on it, and then she later changed her mind. But since she initially signed that paperwork, they're like, you signed it. Let's move forward. Now, protesters have made the boy at the center of this case their sort of main kid, as evidenced by one of several small sidewalk protests featuring signs including Let Chase Keep His Foreskin, Don't Cut Chase's Penis, and Ethics 101, No Disease, No Consent, No Circumcision. Jonathan Friedman, who organized the demonstration as part of his Saving Chase campaign, traveled from Chicago for the event and makes anti-circumcision advocacy the focus of his life. He wore a Children Never Forget Trauma t-shirt and said he became vocal on the issue and he realized the harm of his own circumcision, which he blames for bleeding, chafing, and painful erections.
Children do forget. I have no recollection of my circumcision.
Me either.
I don't know if it was, you know, it could have been, let's say my parents had to wait until I was 3. I still don't think I would have remembered.
Probably not.
I have no clue when I started remembering stuff.
I know. I remember quite a bit of stuff when I was 5. I remember a fair amount of things when I was 4.
But, 5 I get, because at that point, you're not that far away from preschool.
Right.
But yeah, if you're going to do something horrific to me, like cut skin off my dinghy,
mm-hmm.
make it where I'm not going to remember. Or if I'm 3 or 4, slip me a roofie. And I think some parents, don't they keep the foreskin?
Jeez, I hadn't heard that one.
I'm sure some do. You have women that
you've got people to keep the placenta.
Yeah.
Right, and not just keep it, but eat it. So yeah, I'm sure someone's keeping the foreskin.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm not, don't blame me.
Do they eat it at a certain point? Is there like a...
I've heard
an anniversary, or you just get up one morning and maybe you want the placenta pancakes?
Is there something about the nutrition when you're nursing that the placenta is good for that or something like
it
that?
It might be,
I
honestly.
I don't know. Eating any part of your body or drinking your own urine, I have no interest in it. I don't care if urine can cure everything. I am not drinking it. There was a story from this week or last week about drinking your own urine. We've talked about it before. I forget what the benefits are. But I guess it has to be your own.
Found it. Martha Christie is an author and beauty expert in England. And she says the key to perfect skin is rubbing your own pee on your face.
That's why I piss on my wife in the middle of the night.
You're welcome, baby.
Yeah. Give you a facial.
Martha says people have been doing that forever, even in ancient Egypt, China, and India.
Maybe people are stupid. Just because they've been doing it for hundreds of years, thousands of years, doesn't mean that it's a good idea.
Didn't have a lot of tools back then. You had to use what you could, you know?
I think it's someone just pulling a prank on them. Hey, you know, it's good if you do this.
Yeah, tell them, you know, we're in ancient Egypt, but we don't know it's ancient right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them piss works better than Jergens. Hey, your hands are nice and soft. What are you doing? Sucking it in piss?
Every night before bed.
You drink your own piss. Yep.
Better than Calgon.
Yeah. Ancient Egyptian secret. Watch up. Are they talking about actually rubbing it on your face?
Uh-huh. Also, she says...
I think close right. I think somebody's around. Tell them rub it on their face. And you know, it was a man that came up with it. Because women are most concerned about their skin more than men.
Mm-hmm.
Good piss. Nasty, stinky piss. Tell them that.
The darker, the better.
Good, deep, yellow.
Mm.
Vitamin rich piss.
Loaded with B12. Yeah, your pee is antibacterial, antifungal, filled with vitamins and minerals, and great for treating acne, eczema, psoriasis, and fungal infections. You don't have to apply it directly to your face. So some women have started mixing it with their moisturizer. That way you get all the benefits and might feel slightly less grossed out. And then if you're good with using it as skin treatment, then you might as well consider drinking it as well, because Martha says that can significantly improve your overall health.
Your own urine.
Mm-hmm.
Alfie, what's line two?
She's calling about eating placenta.
Ugh. Yes, Brittany?
Hi, about the placenta pills, they're actually dried out placenta and then they capsule them, and you're supposed to take them the first few weeks after the baby's born. It's supposed to give you all the nutrients that you gave the baby. My sister is currently pregnant and she's thinking about doing it.
All right, so consuming the placenta is more for the mother and not the child.
Technically, yes. Well,
you just said replenishing the nutrients that the mother gave to the child, so the mother is trying to get some of the nutrients back.
I would assume so.
See, the pill form, obviously, is going to be a little more appetizing for those that otherwise wouldn't consider it. It's the other folks that actually decide to turn it into pâté and turn a party out of it. That's when a lot of people tend to get grossed out.
Cannibal, kind
of. It's almost cannibalistic, not really, but there's... Again, it gets to a certain point. Hey, you will live to be 100? Not if I got to eat my own shit. This is good for you if you eat the baby packaging.
You see dogs and cats do that when they give birth. They kind of eat the afterbirth.
Uh-huh. Dogs will eat anything. Dogs eat cat
shit. Well, there might be a good reason. I don't know.
So they're saying they know something we don't know?
There might be, yeah.
Dogs eat puke.
There might be a good reason.
Excited about it.
dogs party because
they know if I get sick, I'm going to, if I puke.
They're watching you.
Man, I hope he had enchiladas tonight.
All the dogs sit around talking about it.
You can hear them nights that I'm sick. They kind of gauging. Is he going to puke? Is he not? You can hear all their toenails all over the hardwood floor. Kind of dancing around.
Ooh, tonight's the night.
Starts out slow. Oh, there it goes.
He started cricket pumping. I think he's going to blow.
Yeah, and if I get there fast enough, maybe I can get it before it hits the floor. Catch it mid-flight.
I hate fighting for it.
It sounds like a bunch of drum solos.
It sounds like you hear all these toenails scraping across the floor. Like they're trying to buy a new pair of Nikes. Go ahead.
Okay. NBC Entertainment Chairman Robert Greenblatt says the network will never work with Bill Cosby again. That could certainly change, but he sounded pretty adamant when he was asked if NBC was permanently cutting ties with Cosby. He said, I think that's safe to say. NBC.
How old is Cosby now?
Old.
I mean, really?
I think he's like 80. Something.
How much of a commitment are you losing?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Say he was productive for another 10 years at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Is NBC really going to lose anything? Because until Bill Cosby addresses this, not that he should have to, but until he does, because we're just speaking in as far as logistics, in a logical fashion, you have to address this. Otherwise, your legacy is going to be tainted if all these women are lying.
Well, the thing is, though, is NBC sucks right now, especially when it comes to comedy shows. So the idea of having a Cosby comeback or Cosby at the helm of some type of program would bolster the network.
It would, but there's just too much of a stigma right now, especially since he won't say anything. And again, he's not required to, and he's not guilty because nobody's proven anything.
NBC was developing a new comedy with Cosby when the situation hit what Greenblatt called critical mass. He said, when that many people come out and have similar complaints, it causes such a tainted situation, there was no way we could move forward with it. Meanwhile, there may actually be evidence
that... Even though he saved NBC in the 80s.
Yes.
Okay.
But that was then. Meanwhile, there actually may be evidence that Cosby wasn't even at the Playboy Mansion in L.A. on the night in 2008 when he allegedly assaulted model Chloe Goins. She's the one who filed a police report against him recently. Cosby's lawyer says he has flight and phone records that prove he was in New York City at the time.
Okay, that eliminates one of them.
Right.
Maybe. What?
Maybe eliminates one. But even if it did eliminate that, that's one out of over 20.
I still go back to what I said a couple of months ago. It's not definitive proof or evidence, but it certainly would support his position of, I didn't do it, if he took a polygraph. And make all the chicks with their allegations. All right, Gloria Allred, since you're representing a lot of them, all your chicks take polygraphs.
Mm-hmm.
And if just one of them passes, I'll waive my rights as far as a timeline. What is it?
Statute of limitations.
I'll waive that. We'll go to court. She's not going to do it.
No.
And with Bill Cosby, if you really had nothing to do with any of that, polygraph's going to be a cakewalk.
I guess I would, as innocent as I might be, I would hate to take a polygraph and have a false positive, you know?
You won't know the real life version?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I took two independent polygraphs after the allegations.
True.
Mandy.
Yeah.
I passed both of those.
Yeah.
Were you nervous or excited?
I was not happy because it's like what Dr. Thornton said, a false positive.
Right.
That's why you take two. And then you have supervisors and other polygraphers review it and look at the results. That's the only thing I can think of as far as Bill Cosby, because there's no proof, there's no disproof, there's just they said, he said. So if you want to throw something out, say, you know, I got somebody independent, have Gloria Allred pick out a polygrapher. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Hire one of those of her choosing. I'm totally out of this. Not somebody I hired, nobody I have a relationship with. See if he passes. If I pass it, everybody shuts the hell up. That's the only avenue I can think of that would be fair. especially when you're in a situation where there is no proof.
Which to me just sort of adds more fuel to the thought of, it sounds like he's feeling guilty about something, because if it were me, I would,
it's not a matter
being accused of that, I'd be wanting to run to a polygraph saying, let me take it.
Yeah, it's not a matter of guilt. It's a matter of, I did nothing, and I will not, oh, this will not taint my legacy. Why he's shying away from it, if you know, on the advice of his attorneys, if that's what he's doing, I get it. You go with the professionals. Do what they say.
Yep.
But at a certain point, you know, professionals always play it too safe.
Mm-hmm.
Take a, you know, buy your own polygraph test. Take it, see if you pass it.
I don't think you can
and
just...
And then go to, yes, you can.
You
don't
can?
Tell. You don't tell anybody about it.
Oh, you hire your own polygrapher.
Yeah.
Okay.
See if you pass it. And if you do, and it's totally flying colors, then you call Gloria and go, say, bitch. How about this?
Yeah, but then if you do that, then someone
and then
finds
if
out.
If I pass, then we go out for drinks later. What were you going to say?
Nothing.
All right. We'll be back. Last break. Okay.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
This is Alfie Coy. The tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
704, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Last check on traffic, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Walgreens. It started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just before Golden Triangle. Got an accident there. It's blocking the left lane. Traffic's jacked up back to Westport Parkway. In Grapevine, westbound 114, just before Texan Trail, got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic's completely stopped back from Bethel. In Richardson, southbound 75, just before Beltline, got an accident. It's blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic there's already jacked up back from the bush. And finally, in Dallas, westbound 635, right at Josie, got an accident there. It's blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back in Webb Chapel. Listen to Skull tomorrow morning at 825 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to UFC 185 at the American Airlines Center on March 15th. I don't know. Plus a $50 Twin Peaks gift card. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Arizona State University Online. Tonight, rain and 41. Tomorrow, rain and a high of 42. Right now, 56 at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, Daniel, what do we have pending?
A man in Sacramento went dumpster diving for his lost wallet last week. He was inside the dumpster, rifling through bags of trash, trying to find it. While he was in there, a garbage truck came to empty out the dumpster. The truck lifted up the dumpster and unloaded its entire contents into the back of the truck, including the man. He was in there for around 3 hours before the truck got to the landfill, dumped the garbage, and the driver saw the man crawl out. The police say the man is very lucky to be alive and that the driver saw him. If he had not, the trash was about to be bulldozed and compacted where the man surely would have died.
They don't use the compactor inside the trash truck.
Well, this one they didn't. The man went to the hospital with back and neck pain.
Yeah, I don't know how that process works. Do they, you know, like hit 10 houses and then compact? And then
right.
10 houses. So you get more in one truck. Yeah, for my wallet, I go into a dumpster. Not a smartphone. There are people jumping on the train tracks that dive. Well, I dropped my iPhone. Yeah, I certainly can't get another one.
Well, and it's all the whole depending on how...
What you store on your phone.
Well, it's the worth of the two things.
No, it's not. My wife. She would be. My life is not worth $200.
To you, it's not. However... To a person that bought the phone, they want that phone bad.
I bought my phone.
I'm saying to a different person. You're saying you'd go for your wallet. Other people would probably go for the phone.
And again, it goes back to just really common sense of risk, reward.
Mm-hmm.
How badly do I need my wallet? Crawling a bunch of grunt? Probably. Oh, you climb into a dumpster, you don't know what's in there. There could be needles. It's a dumpster.
Yeah. Critters.
Also, just park your car in front of it where they can't pick it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, do something to where the truck
How
can't come
wallet
pick it up.
How did his wallet get the dumpster to begin with?
That's the part of the story I do not know. Maybe it was...
That's suspicious on its own.
Well, it is suspicious. But...
Are we out of whiskey?
Yes.
Damn. You want the last little bit in this?
Oh, you can have it, man.
No, it's all right. You take it.
I'm good.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Get ready for your homo date this weekend?
No. I got some fire at my desk.
Okay. Would you crawl into a dumpster for your wallet?
I'd consider it. I think I'd have to eyeball the dumpster a little bit to see what was what. More than likely, I'd go in after it. Although the dumpster...
I think it would depend also what the dumpster is behind. If it's behind an adult bookstore, no.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to get a survey of the land. You got to see what's around.
Because at that point, it truly becomes a dumpster. My smartphone, let it go. Anything on there, I can recover. It's been backed up on my computer. Mm-hmm. Any apps, anything that you really need can be replicated.
But people just don't like the inconvenience. The way you wouldn't want to have to take the time to replace all your wallet contents, people don't want to have to take the time to go to a phone store, get a phone, get them to, you know, put all your backed up stuff on
You
it.
Put it back on yourself. You've already backed. You should have backed it up on your PC. The phone, let it go. I'm not going to jump on the train tracks and dig around for my phone because I got a text. Well, your next update on Facebook is died.
I know.
It's amazing how people get it's. At this point, it seems to be one of the most valuable thing in people's lives.
It is.
Oh, all my information is on there. Stop using it. Okay. There are people that are having to go through therapy to get detached from their smartphones.
Don't come to me.
Why? Are you attached to yours?
I'm really seriously working on it. I have a serious addiction to this thing.
And you haven't had one that long, so
no,
this is
no,
new
no.
for you.
Yeah.
What are the addictive qualities of the phone?
Well, I quit playing games on the computer, so now I've taken that energy and putting it in, I hate to say it, to Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. I just check it way too much.
Well, what is it you think, obviously I'll play the counselor here.
Okay, thanks.
What is it you think you might miss if you don't check your Facebook in 4 hours?
That's the crazy thing. Nothing. I know this. I know.
Well,
this.
If you know that, why would you feel the need to check it?
I have no rational answer for you, but I know that if I'm nervous about something, I'll look at my phone. If I'm hungry or unsettled,
what is it about the phone that feeds some type of that satiates your brain?
That's a good question. Because
it's good because
it feels like a drug. It feels like, and it feels bad like a drug. You know, it kind of hurts the way a drug does.
But before you had the smartphone, did you have these anxieties?
No.
Then possibly getting rid of the smartphone. Again, what do you think it means?
You've been wanting to do that too long.
I don't think the therapist typically flips off the patient. That's just my observation.
That's a moment that's been probably 20 years in the making
between
me and Dr. Thornton. Yeah. Because when I had problems with the relationship, I would take the girl and go and see Dr. Thornton, and I'd pay for it. Everything was above board, but he would always pull it. What do you think that means?
Did I really say that?
Yes!
That was a hardcore finger.
Yeah, it was.
I felt like my finger grew a couple of inches.
Yeah, oh, it did, man.
That was uncut, man.
Yeah.
This is a Gentile finger.
I feel you.
Now, at least you've been on the other side.
That's right.
I'm really surprised that you, really of all people, because it took a while to kind of get you into the technology.
Yeah.
And now, once you're into it, you seem immersed to the point of that there's... It's almost like your reality has changed.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm any good at it. I'm still not sophisticated with it, but the little bit I can do, I just... You know.
What information do you feel like is leaving a void if you don't check on Twitter or whatever?
Sometimes it'll be, you know, like I've gotten into a conversation with somebody and I want to see what they have to say next. And sometimes those conversations are even a little bit tense, you know, and so I'm a little bit ramped up about, what do you mean?
Do you use the phone as like a crutch? If they're saying something that makes you uncomfortable, so you kind of use the phone as a distraction?
Oh, you mean like if yeah, yeah, like if my real world is not so much like stressful but boring, you know, if I'm kind of flat, I'm kind of between things.
Am I being too confusing with questions?
No.
I don't get it because with me, there's some days I forget to leave my phone at the house. And it's, I certainly don't get on the tollway. I got to go back to the house and get my phone.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have heard
I'm glad I f***ing forgot it. I hope it dies.
I've heard you say that, and I'm truly modeling that. I mean, I am not jacking with you. I'm using you as a sort of a interior mentor about that.
Well, I just think about what it was like before that. I mean, the only thing that became part of my daily regimen before the smartphones is get home from work, immediately go into my office, check the answering machine.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
No updates on the internet. There was not, if it was something truly important, people know how to find me.
Yeah.
If I'm at work, they know where I am.
Yeah.
My phone's up here.
Yeah.
So I don't feel isolated.
In the end, I think it's just a way of wasting time and energy.
Does anything you think have to do with the social pressure of being on these Facebook, Instagram, that kind of thing, Twitter?
A little, yeah.
I love shrinking him.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel a little of that, Alfie, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Like if you don't like this person's Facebook post, they're going to be upset at you in real life later?
There's a little of that, but mostly it's just this
a feeling of wanting to be wanted to where people care enough about you to post something on your Facebook or tweet you, and you feel some type of external validation.
I acknowledge that that does tickle my brain at some level, but that's not the essential issue. I think the essential issue is I'm looking for something to distract me from something more important.
But then it becomes non-productive and
yep.
self-destructive.
Correct.
So don't you think you're worth being self... what's the opposite of destruction? Constructive?
Yeah, go with that.
Thanks, Doc.
Don't cry in my office.
Nobody's ever said that to me before.
I'll kick you in the And those tissues ain't free.
A dollar per.
I remember one of the first times I went to see Dr. Thorne, he goes, those tissues are for crying. That's not for f***ing off in.
Man, he's known you so well.
We're going to be touching on some sexual issues. Those tissues, tears. And I don't mean tears. Do you feel like we've made any progress today?
I feel a lot better about myself.
Do you feel guilty about the time you spend on the phone?
No, I don't feel guilty. I just feel
it's non-productive, so yeah. There has to be a guilt factor involved.
No, I just feel kind of disgusted.
Because before you got into the technology and had the phone and had an email account, you could sort of not necessarily look down or judge negatively those around you that were, but you felt a little bit better about yourself. You're like, at least I'm not tethered in that fashion.
Nah, I really, when I had downtime before, I'd read a book.
Okay, well, if it's downtime, that's not really an addiction. You're just killing time. But if
I'd read a book when I shouldn't be reading a book. I'd read a book, you know, when I should be paying my bills or something. I mean, you know, a way to avoid things.
How do you think you're contributing to this problem?
By not being assertive enough or rather taking charge of my life enough, Doc. I really think that's...
Do you feel guilty about the luxury of an iPhone?
No.
You don't feel any guilt in that?
No. I deserve nice things.
Have you been uncomfortable since you've been trying to untether yourself from the phone?
Yes.
How do you think you could better spend that time feeling uncomfortable?
I think that spend the time feeling uncomfortable about doing these things that I'm avoiding, just go ahead and deal with that discomfort and do those things anyway rather than avoid them.
But the things you're avoiding, you eventually get around to anyway.
Yeah.
So you realize that the gap in time that you're leaving doesn't really help.
That's right.
So what do you think we should do from here?
I don't know. What do you think?
You. You have to come to the solution on your own. Otherwise, I'm not helping you.
Oh, I hate you.
Did your mother have a smartphone?
For more information,
you felt like she spent more time with the phone than you.
On the Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com.
This ain't a hard gig.
Anybody can do that.
Yeah, I can make people feel like for $150 for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Actually, sounds kind of like fun. To sign up for the Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanO'Malley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. You can reach all of us on social media, which you can also find Dr. Thornton on. At Dr. Scott Thornton is his handle. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. Nikki Sixx is up next. For all things 1190 Talk Radio, go to 1190talkradio.com, where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Later.
The Metroplex.